Peter B. Collins Show, which is coming up next after the CBS News.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes.
We are a little bit disappointed. We did want to support those who are carrying the torch and represent our city.
She's one of many thousands upset. Olympic torch relay in San Francisco avoided the crowd that had gathered to watch it on both sides of the China issue. Live now to the City by the Bay, CBS's Steve Futterman.
Well, Ali, as many thought it might, the torch relay has taken a detour, avoiding the thousands of demonstrators, both pro and con, who had lined the announced parade route. People who waited in some cases many hours to see the torch are disappointed. Meanwhile, the groups who were protesting the torch relay taking place in San Francisco say the change of plans is a victory for them. As far as we can tell, the torch relay has been pretty much violent-free, very few arrests. Let's now go to the White House CBS News correspondent Mark Miller, who says the president remains firm in his intention to attend the Summer Games.
In an interview to be aired Friday on EWTN, he says he's heard all the rhetoric about a boycott, but he questions whether he'll be more or less effective in raising concerns with China if he politicizes the Olympic Games. By going, he says he can raise issues with China before, during, and after the Olympics.
Whether Mr. Bush will be at the opening ceremony is not yet known. American Airlines has egg on its windscreen today with 100,000 passengers left in the lurch because MD-80 series airliners that should have been inspected some time ago were grounded because the FAA said to.
We expect there will be cancellations tomorrow, and there will be some lingering into Friday, although we hope by Friday we're largely back to normal.
Airline spokesman Daniel Garten.
I'm Peter King at Orlando International Airport. Travelers have their ears to their cell phones with a renewed sense of urgency and resignation.
Been on hold for about 30 minutes.
They're trying to rebook by phone so they can get out of this ever-growing line at the American ticket counter, but patience is wearing thin.
I don't know if I'm going to fly American.
John Keane is trying to get to Dallas. He says there's no excuse for the suddenly urgent maintenance checks.
They should be able to take care of their business without inconveniencing their customers.
Delta and Alaska Air also canceled some flights today, though only a handful by comparison, and it's for the same inspection reason. Florida state legislators have approved a bill to allow legal gun owners to take their sidearm with them in their vehicles.
It's a fairness issue. It's the preservation of the Second Amendment right. It delineates it for current times, and I think it's the thing to do.
That's Florida State Senator Republican Darrell Peden, and the governor is expected to sign the bill. Senior defense officials say President Bush will make the announcement tomorrow. Army units from here on out will be deploying for normal 12-month tours. The extended tours into war zones will be ending. On Wall Street, the Dow was off 49 points today. The Nasdaq lost 26. Oil prices, $110.87 a barrel, up $2.30. This is CBS News.
Now you can lower cholesterol by taking a Centrum multivitamin. Introducing Centrum Cardio, the first and only leading complete multivitamin that can lower cholesterol. Centrum Cardio contains Corowise, a natural ingredient that can lower cholesterol. You may see results in as little as 4 weeks. The lower cholesterol you want from the name you trust. New Centrum Cardio. Good for your cholesterol, good for the rest of you. 400 milligrams, free phytosterols, taken twice a day for a total daily intake of at least 800 milligrams as part of a diet low in saturated fat and cholesterol may reduce the risk of heart disease.
Have you ever wanted to own a Mercedes-Benz but felt that it was out of reach? Well, you're in luck, because right now Mercedes-Benz is having a certified pre-owned event with special financing on a wide selection of exceptional pre-owned vehicles like the Agile C-Class, the legendary E-Class, the sturdy M-Class, and the spacious R-Class. The Mercedes-Benz certified pre-owned event now through April 30th. And remember, if it's not at your authorized Mercedes dealer, it's not a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz.
See dealer for complete details on warranty coverage and roadside assistance.
Hybrid vehicles are quiet. Blessed good news for most. A potential danger for a few.
Most of us may welcome hybrid and electric vehicles to come as quiet additions to the noisy urban scene. But there could be unintended consequences. For example, blind people use traffic sounds.
We're concerned about them because they use sound cues to cross streets, to do all kinds of things. And these cars are not making any noise.
New York Democrat Adolphus Towns has proposed the Pedestrian Safety Enhancement Act. It would launch a federal study seeking ways to alert the blind to the presence of quiet vehicles. John Hartshee, CBS News, Washington.
Attorneys for the Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints say the police raid on their polygamy compound in El Dorado, Texas, was disrespectful and unconstitutional. Prosecutors say the purpose was to investigate possible criminal activity. The state has at least temporarily taken legal custody of all 416 children who were taken from that compound. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
It's time to empty our schedules and fill up our flower pots. Time to unload our inboxes and load up our window boxes. It's time to grow something with Miracle-Gro Moisture Control, the potting mix that prevents under- or over-watering and lets you do just about anything except mess up. So let the creativity flow and the color and beauty grow. This weekend, get out there with Miracle-Gro. It's grow time. Tell me what you
want. Dell has people talking, like the customer who wrote exactly what small businesses have needed for years. Need savings too? Take $250 off on a select Dell Vostro desktop with a 20-inch widescreen flat panel monitor featuring Intel Core 2 Duo processor. Put Dell to work for your small business at dell.com/radio. Prices do not include taxes and other fees. Limited time offer. U.S. only, subject to change.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage.
Watch out for that
torch.
Join
the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. And be part of Peter B.'s America.
Oh, and the torch carrier is nabbed right along the waterfront in San Francisco today. Yes, the Olympic torch ceremony working its way through the most liberal city on the left coast. Should be an exciting run. Thanks for joining us on the Peter B. Collins Show. Lots to talk about, great people to talk with. Former Senator Lincoln Chafee of Rhode Island will kick off the show here in just a moment. Later this hour, Eric Bullard from Media Matters of America, MediaMatters.org, will join us. And my top topic about the media this week is a plan that surfaced in the New York Times yesterday. CBS News wants to cut back on its cost of news gathering by subbing it out to CNN. Not happy about that. We'll talk about it. California's Democratic Lieutenant Governor John Garamendi will be with us next hour. We'll talk about what's going on in Sacramento and how we're going to close the budget gap this year and still honor the governor's, that's Schwarzenegger's, promise not to raise taxes. More on justice or injustice in the South and its connections to Karl Rove. Larissa Alexandrovna returns next hour from rawstory.com. She published installment 5 in her stories that started off with Don Siegelman of Alabama and have now worked over to the neighboring state of Mississippi, where Governor Haley Barbour, former chair of the Republican National Committee, is the governor there, and some interesting shenanigans have occurred. Also in our third hour today, Christopher Cerf and Victor Navasky. Cerf, the son of Bennett Cerf, and a guy who's written many funny books, and Victor Navasky, together they call themselves the Institute of Expertology. And their book, Mission Accomplished, is a sardonic look at the history of Bush's war in Iraq, and of course the declaration of Mission Accomplished, and Tom Friedman's frequent declarations that just another 6 months, the next 6 months are crucial. In 6 months, we'll know. Well, those are called FUs, for Friedman Units. And we're going to have some fun with that and recount the sorry history with Christopher Cerf and Victor Navasky heading into our free speech zone in the third hour. Call me anytime, toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You can get podcasts of this program. The link is on the homepage at peterbcollins.com. Lincoln Chafee served one term as a Republican senator from the state of Rhode Island. He was unseated in 2006 by Sheldon Whitehouse, a Democrat and a former U.S. attorney who is now representing Rhode Island in that seat. Senator, welcome to our program.
It's a pleasure to join you, Peter.
It's nice to talk with you. And just a little bit of housekeeping. You were a Republican. Is it true that you now call yourself an independent?
Yes, I disaffiliated over the summer.
Okay, congratulations. And as I was putting my little cheat sheet together, it makes an interesting combination of letters. As you know, the shorthand is that we put an R or a D behind somebody's name. And so for you, I now show you on my sheet as Senator Lincoln Chafee, R/I, that's Republican / Independent, from R.I., Rhode Island.
I didn't realize that works well, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. What caused you to leave the Republican Party, Senator?
After I lost the election and so many other Republican incumbents lost, Burns in Montana, Allen in Virginia, Santorum in Pennsylvania, DeWine in Ohio, Talent in Missouri. I mean, it was a wipeout for Republicans. And that means something when incumbents lose, and whether Democrats or incumbents, because we have such an advantage in the incumbency, raising the money and bringing back the federal money to our states and being on TV. So that means something when incumbents lose. And it seemed as though the Republican Party didn't want to change. We elected Trent Lott over Lamar Alexander for our whip position after this debacle of the elections of 06.
Mm-hmm.
And I like Trent, Senator Lott, but I thought we needed a new voice in our leadership in the U.S. Senate. And I couldn't vote because I was out. But in that lame duck session, I witnessed that election take place, and Senator Lott won by one vote. And Lamar Alexander, Senator Alexander, is not a liberal by any means, just a different voice in our leadership. And that said to me, they're not changing. And then weeks later, the president embarked on his surge after the American people had spoken so vociferously against the war by ousting all these incumbent House members and Senate members. And so I said, they're not changing. It's time for me to change.
Yeah. And, Senator, to your lasting credit, you voted against the authorization for military force in Iraq in October of 2002. Tell us why, and what did that cost you?
After the Afghanistan mission was started, it wasn't long before the administration was talking about Saddam Hussein in Iraq, and I can remember it clearly. My colleagues were all saying, this is crazy. There's no connection between al-Qaeda and Saddam Hussein. But over time, it just started to track. They got traction with their arguments, and they never had any real substance to it. That Saddam was a threat. It was a lot of rhetoric and a lot of saber rattling, but there was never any evidence, and I never wavered. I kept with my conviction that it was nuts. And I took a personal trip to the CIA in the month before we had the vote, September of 2002, all by myself, and just said, show me everything you have. I've got to vote on this. And what they had was completely unconvincing.
Mm-hmm.
And especially the body language of the analysts that were showing it to me. I could tell by the way they were showing it to me that they didn't have conviction in it either. If they'd been showing me satellite photos with great animation and conviction, it would have been different. But they showed them to me and kept their mouths shut. And I said, they don't even think there's a case here.
Mm-hmm.
It was a bunch of rhetoric. And the sad thing is, Peter, is that the architects of this, I truly believe in the administration, did not think that Saddam was a threat. They had this grand plan to remake the Middle East, and we should have had that debate. It might be a worthwhile debate. Should we remake the Middle East and try and spread democracy? But to prevaricate to the American people on that Saddam's a threat was so totally wrong.
And Senator, there are many of us who came to the same conclusion without being able to make that visit to the CIA or even talk with your colleagues who had security clearances and had been on the Intelligence Committee, for example. But the information was there. Scott Ritter, the weapons inspector, was the man who persuaded me that even if Saddam still had the biological or chemical weapons stockpiles, that their shelf life had expired and that they did not pose an immediate threat of any sort. And when we look back at that time, I'm just ashamed at those who went along with the administration for political convenience. I'm certain some were misled, some were pressured for political reasons into voting against their better instincts. But we have some people, and frankly for me, Senator Clinton is among them, who consciously made a vote for political reasons, not because of the underlying issues about Saddam Hussein and the phony threats that were advanced by Bush and Cheney.
Absolutely. And people forget there were two votes that day. The first was offered by, after Jeffords had switched, the Democrats had taken control of the Senate.
Right.
And the chairman of the Armed Services Committee was Carl Levin from Michigan, chairman of the Armed Services Committee. And he was offering an amendment just to slow it down. Let's let the inspectors give them more time to do their work. Let's work with the UN Security Council. And he had a provision in there that will meet within 24 hours as a Senate. If any new information comes out, and we had it all covered.
And Senator, additionally,
and that lost by the same vote.
The 11,
the same vote.
Pardon me, sir, but the 11 amendment also required another trip to the United Nations before the U.S. could unilaterally invade Iraq.
Yes, you know the 11 amendment well. Yes, and it lost by the same vote. It was no to 11, aye to war. And the people just weren't. And that's where Senator Clinton in particular has no argument. Because she tries to say, oh, I didn't know what they were going to do. But why did you vote against Levin?
Lincoln Chafee is with us, former senator from Rhode Island, here on the Peter B. Collins Show. He's with us till the bottom of the hour. If you would like to talk with him, call now at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Senator, I believe that Dick Cheney and David Addington, if we have to find two individuals, are most responsible for the march to war and the phony intelligence that was used to support their effort. Tell me your thoughts about how Americans should consider Dick Cheney. I consider him a war criminal, and I would like to see him face accountability for the bad judgment and the intentional violations of his oath of office that we have seen since 2001.
Well, I have a book that just hit the bookshelf this week. It's called Against the Tide, with a subtitle, How a Compliant Congress Enabled a Reckless President. And my first chapter is about Vice President Cheney and a meeting he had the day after the Supreme Court ruled in Bush-Cheney's favor, 5-4. That would be December of 2000. The meeting he had, a lunch meeting with the five moderate senators, me, Snow and Collins from Maine, Specter from Pennsylvania, and Jeffords, still a Republican from Vermont. And he told us at that lunch, here he was just hours after the Supreme Court had ruled that they were going to get out of the international agreements, the new administration, getting out of Kyoto, get out of the International Criminal Court, we're going to have a $1.6 trillion tax cut. He laid out a radical agenda hours after being minted. I mean, they had no allegiance to their campaign pledges. I can remember the candidate, Governor Bush, saying we're going to have a humble foreign policy, and I'm a uniter, not a divider, of course, very famous line, that the American people voted for.
Yeah.
And he was saying, and it told me two things. Number one, don't pay any attention to our campaign promises. And number two, I'm in charge. This was the vice president laying this out, not the president.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way it unfolded. He's a major character in everything that's gone wrong in the last 8 years.
Yeah, and what about David Addington? I think that he deserves special mention.
Yes, in the Hall of Shame, he's right up there with in the unanimous vote.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a break.
By the way, your Democratic senators did, they split on the war. Boxer was against and Feinstein for, but Feinstein, I believe, voted for the Levin Amendment, and then she was the only one to switch and then vote for the war.
I think you're correct there, and I have a lot of problems with Senator Feinstein. Mr. Chafee, we've got to take a break, and we'll return. Lincoln Chafee, former senator from Rhode Island, with us. His new book is coming out called Against the Tide. We'll take your calls in the next segment on the Peter B. Collins Show, 888-5-PETER-B. The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Do Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
One specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Make this the year you become personally acquainted with the May family and Jim's Restaurant at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.50 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering, too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Hello, this is Solazar.
Hi, I'm Carolani.
Join us this Sunday at 6 p.m. for Good Vibrations, Tools for Transformation.
Together, we'll transform your relationships, communication, health, and the ability to reach your goals and dreams.
Good Vibrations, Sunday at 6 p.m. on AM 540 KRXA.
Spring has sprung at All Class Transportation, and the All Class Transportation team is offering awesome spring savings to KRXA listeners for all of April. Call All Class Transportation at 831-582-9338 to travel in the ultimate in comfort and style. For example, a party of eight can rent an All Class Transportation luxury limo for the bargain basement price of only $55 an hour. That's right, folks. I said only $55 per hour with a one-hour minimum. All Class Transportation also has luxury SUVs and sedans for even less, and again, with a minimum time of just 1 hour. If you are looking for an airport drop-off or pickup in Monterey or San Jose at a great price, look no further than All Class Transportation. For additional information, call the All Class Transportation team at 831-582-9338 or email them at allclasstrans@att.net. Times are yard to yard. Gratuity is not included. And vehicles will be rented subject to availability. Remember, for all your transportation needs, call Marina-based All Class Transportation, TCP 22978-A at 582-9338. That's 582-9338.
And we continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. My guest is former Senator and former Republican from Rhode Island, Lincoln Chafee.
Here we go, starting another war. We got our heads up our asses. You know, we're really bored. Hey, hey, we're Republicans, and people say we act like clowns. We love natural disasters. Did somebody really drown? We lie whenever we want to. Yeah, you know it's true. And if you don't believe us, turn on the nightly news. Hey, hey, we're the Republicans, and people say we act like clowns. We just steal elections.
Lincoln Chafee has a new book out called Against the Tide, and he's now at Brown University, where I used to send checks, and now I'm on the alumni fundraising list. My stepson, David, graduated from there last May, and Brown's a great school, Senator, and I'm sure you're proud to be involved there.
Yes, and a great new group of students coming through, I'll have to say. It gives us a lot of hope for the country.
Yeah.
They're very open-minded, and they care greatly about what's happening beyond our borders.
Mm-hmm.
Here at the International Relations Department, the number one concentration is past English and biology and history and all the traditional majors. International relations is now number one. It's a great group of students.
Oh, that's great.
I'm sure your son-in-law is one.
Well, he's doing great. He's actually an engineering guy, and he's moved on to the University of Michigan.
Okay.
But
you were playing the monkey song there about the Republicans. Hey, hey, for the Republicans. But the Democrats were terrible through this whole thing also. I mean, a majority of Democrats voted for the war.
Mm-hmm.
And Tom Daschle was the majority leader in the Senate. He could have stopped it.
They had
the control of the Senate.
I use 12-step language, Senator. They were the enablers.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And after I lost my raise purely because I had an R after my name, people still come up to me every day and say, I'm sorry you lost, but I had to vote to change the Senate.
Yeah.
And even after changing the Senate, the Democrats haven't stood up against warrantless wiretapping. And you remember when they named the Iranian guards as terrorists?
Yes, I do. The Kyle Lieberman Amendment.
Yes, I think it was 75 to 20.
Mm-hmm.
And the 75 to 20 in a Democratic Senate giving Bush Cheney more tickets to attack another more countries.
Yeah. Now, it's really shameful, and it's been difficult, too, to watch your senior senator, Jack Reed, who did properly vote against the authorization in October of 2002. But he gets trotted out to represent the Democrats on the war, and he fumbles around. He's defensive. He adopts the talking points and framing of the administration and never advances the debate onto territory, you know, about scaling back, withdrawing, ending the occupation.
And I believe he voted aye on the terrorists, naming the Iranian guards terrorists, as did the fellow who beat me, who was promising to get out of Iraq in 6 months when he was running against me. He voted to name the Iranian guards terrorists.
Yeah. Let's take some phone calls.
Senator Clinton.
For Senator Chafee, John in Carmel Valley. Go ahead, John. You're on the program.
Senator, to hear you call the policy to invade Iraq nuts is more than music to my ears, because there's so little good news for someone like me. I see John McCain as more nuts than anybody right now. So if he by some chance got elected, it would be worse than ever. But I want to ask you, what do you think of Nancy Pelosi? Why did she, the day, I think it was the day she assumed her role in the House now, that she said impeachment wasn't on the table.
Well,
why did she say
John,
that?
John, to be accurate, she took it off during the campaign under pressure from Karl Rove, and then it was when she maintained the position that I thought it was completely ill-advised. Senator?
On impeachment, just the timing of having gone through it with the Clinton just worked in the administration's favor. The Democrats just didn't think the country was ready for another whole process. This timing just worked for Bush Cheney.
If you'll pardon the expression, the Lewinsky affair did leave a bad taste in our mouths.
And, yeah, imagine the transgressions comparatively.
Oh, yeah.
Clinton's versus Bush Cheney.
It's heartbreaking when you consider that. Jake in Eureka for Senator Chafee. Go ahead.
Hey, Peter B. Hey, Senator Chafee, as a moderate Republican who faced a primary challenge from a right-winger in your last Senate campaign, how do you look at what John McCain faces in the upcoming general election? He's always had a great deal of distrust from certain elements within the Republican base, like the religious right, for instance, and he's having trouble raising money. So do you think this is going to be a problem for him in the election?
Yes, you described that accurately. He's had to kowtow to the Republican base. I never did that in my primary because I was trying to attract the unaffiliated voters into my Republican primary in Rhode Island, which we're allowed to do here. So I was voting against Alito. I was voting against Bolton. I was doing things that were not kowtowing to the base, which I wouldn't do philosophically anyway. I couldn't in my all good conscience. So
mm-hmm.
I can't see how John McCain's turning his back on his vote against the big tax cut and on the environment where he's had so many good votes and the religious right. It's going to hurt him in the general. You just can't be a chameleon and switch colors.
Thank you, Jake. Senator, just about 40 seconds remaining. How do we get our civil liberties back, end the illegal surveillance of Americans, and end the gruesome, barbaric torture and other unconstitutional means that we use at Guantanamo Bay and elsewhere?
Well, 2008 is the most important election in my lifetime, and I'm supporting Senator Obama. And I've watched his campaign unfold, and he's had the best campaign. I was just on the sidelines watching many of my colleagues who are running for the Senate, for the presidency. I served with them, and he's had the best campaign, the best vision for America, and he'll stand up for our civil liberties.
All right, sir. Well, listen, we're going to ask your publisher for a copy of Against the Tide when we get it. I'll read it, and then we'll call you and interview you again, sir.
That's the deal.
All right, thank you. Lincoln Chafee, the former Republican and former Republican senator from Rhode Island. We're going to take a break and talk media matters with Eric Bollert next on the PBC show.
progressive talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, sponsored in part by makers of the naturally derived Amil BP, clinically shown to help maintain healthy blood pressure levels. I'm Charles Osgood. Economics has been called the dismal science, and with good reason. It's always a cloudy day for economists. Half a glass of anything always seems to be half empty rather than half full. Their forecasts are guarded because their crystal ball is clouded with the same fog that muddies up their syntax. To be fair, everybody wants to be a hero. Nobody likes being cast as the bad guy. But banks and other lenders have been badly beaten up lately. A few years ago, they were hailed as champions of the American dream for making home ownership possible for millions who had previously been shut out. Then came this subprime crisis, and they were scorned as predators for doing what they did. Now the Fed is trying to encourage the banks and lenders to lend again to ease the credit crunch by making hundreds of billions of dollars available for that purpose. We'll get out the old fogged-up crystal ball after this. Over 70 million Americans deal with pre-hypertension. But let me tell you about a wonderful new product, Amil BP. It makes maintaining healthy blood pressure easy. Take it every day the way you take your vitamins. Amil BP uses a patented, naturally derived ingredient called Amil Peptide, clinically shown to help maintain a healthy blood pressure. Keep yours in a healthy range by eating right, exercising, and taking Amil BP. Available at Walgreens and CVS, or visit AmilBP.com to find other fine retailers near you.
Tell me what you want. Dell has people talking, like the customer who wrote exactly what small businesses have needed for years. Need savings too? Take $250 off on a select Dell Vostro desktop with a 20-inch widescreen flat panel monitor featuring Intel Core 2 Duo processor. Put Dell to work for your small business at Dell.com/radio. Prices do not include taxes and other fees. Limited time offer. U.S. only, subject to change.
Every 2 weeks now, the Fed is holding auctions to supply commercial banks with billions to lend. $310 billion so far, $50 billion just the other day. But, says David Weiss, chief economist at Standard & Poor's,
it's a little bit disturbing that the auction rate was a bit higher relative to the federal funds rate than in the other recent auctions. It suggests that banks aren't quite as eager to grab this money as they were earlier, which the other side of that is they're not as eager to make loans. They might have been at the last auction a couple of weeks ago.
Has all this done any good?
I think it's helped a bit. We have seen the lending rates come down a little bit. It's a little easier to get money. Remember, though, there's only $100 billion of these loans outstanding now, so it's not new money anymore. This is just replacing the old money.
His crystal ball says we're not headed for a recession.
We're in a recession. I think we'll be in a recession through at least mid-year, bottoming out probably sometime in the third quarter, but we're not out at bottom yet, and it's probably another 3 months before we get there.
See what I mean? The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Slow down, you move too fast.
This is Professor Mossberg, your host here at KRXA for the Poetry Slowdown. T.S. Eliot said, April is the cruelest month. What is cruel about April? Think about it for yourself. Call me on the show or write me at Barbara at KRXA540.com. We want to know your ideas for cruel April, and I'll tell you how my answer to that question 40 years ago launched my career in 30 countries with erupting volcanoes, caves, and other joys and terrors. As the poet Tennyson said, all times I have enjoyed greatly and suffered greatly, both with those who love me and alone. We'll be talking about cruel Aprils, spring, poems you love to hate to memorize. We'll have a glorious time making the morning last, your inner poet kicking down those cobblestones. Sundays, right here on KRXA at high noon.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Top of next hour, California's Lieutenant Governor John Garamendi joins us.
Cover me through the fire. Something knocked me out the tree. Now I'm on my knees.
performance recently. MediaMatters.org, that's Media Matters for America, does a great job of monitoring the corporate media and calling them on bluffs, hypes, and BS. And we're joined by Eric Bullard from Media Matters today. Hi, Eric.
Hey, Peter. How are you?
Doing okay. And you?
I'm hanging in there.
Good, good. I'm reading your column here at Media Matters. And I have to confess that I rarely consume any news from ABC anymore. I don't watch any of the nightly newscasts because they're on before I get home.
Right.
And my TiVo's all filled up with the cable shout shows that, give me more adrenaline and keep me awake at night.
Right.
So you have been monitoring Jake Tapper's reporting, and you find that he has special skills that other reporters don't seem to have.
He's like Superman.
Yeah?
And it's a good point about, not watching ABC News. The problem is now the sort of the bad stuff is seeping all over the internet because, they have all these blogs that they want to have instantaneous campaign news. As I wrote in my column, it's this items that we're going to talk about that, no blogger would ever put his name on, but Jake Tapper at ABC News does. He wrote an item last week about how he ran into Barack Obama 7 months ago for, quote, a second inside the Capitol building. And Tapper claims to have a heightened sense of smell, and he could smell smoke on Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
And Obama, when he announced his candidacy, there was a fair amount of media coverage of how he was also going to not only run for president but quit smoking at the same time, which he may now regret because one is hard enough. But Tapper thought he smelled smoke, so he asked the campaign. The campaign said no, he just chews Nicorette.
Mm-hmm.
And Tapper was so sure about what he smelled, he asked them to check him again, and Obama said, he hadn't. So fast forward to last week, Obama was on the Chris Matthews show, and he confessed that he had sort of fallen off the wagon a couple times and,
mm-hmm.
and sneaked a smoke, but that he was still sort of on the path to quitting. So Tapper had his aha moment. He wrote up this item without any proof that Obama had lied to him last August, touting his sense of smell and suggesting that this reflected poorly. I mean, if you read between the lines, the whole point was that, his campaign isn't always honest and that he has a credibility problem.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it's just, it was posted on April 3rd. If he had posted on April 1st, I would have got it because it is sort of a parody of what campaign journalism has become.
Now, just one quick question.
Yeah.
Do you have any evidence that Jake Tapper worked as a flight attendant? Because they really know when people have been smoking in the loo.
Right. No. But
did he ever work?
It's a silly item, but it also raised, sort of depressing, brought out sort of depressing trends we see in the media, which is sort of this creeping sense of narcissism among the press. That they have no hesitation in terms of inserting themselves into the story like this.
Yeah.
And they certainly see themselves as equal. Jake Tapper thought he smelled smoke. Obama said no. So it made perfect sense. It was Tapper versus Obama. They're on the same plane. They're equals in this arena. So it made perfect sense to sort of make that allegation.
Well, and
just a few years ago, journalists never would have dreamed of, seeing themselves on the same sort of level as a presidential candidate.
Yeah, and this falls into a none of your damn business kind of category.
Yeah.
And I do understand that, presidential candidates end up in a bubble under a microscope, whatever metaphor you want to use. And, yes, he publicly said he wants to quit smoking. But to hold this up as a real mirror of his personal integrity, I think is shameful. Because we all struggle with things. I've got, let me check, it's about 15 pounds, and here's my love handle named Ben, and the other one's named Jerry.
Right.
I don't think any of us is perfect, and we really have seen this campaign devolve into neener-neeners about somebody's preacher, neener-neeners about who can remember what, and while some of my fellow Obama supporters have come down really hard on Hillary about the Tuzla Air Base story, and more recently the urban legend that a deputy sheriff told her about in Ohio, I really don't regard these as defining. either the character of these individuals or whether these are indications about their ability to serve as our president.
And that's what the press is so obsessed. You know, they really, I mean, they punted on policy months ago and really cycles ago, and they really do see their entire purpose as to supposedly illuminate us about this candidate's character.
And precisely, the thing that really bothers me is I have not seen in one of these televised so-called debates any discussion of the NSA and the wrangling over the FISA bill. This is a central issue about my privacy rights and my constitutional rights as an American citizen.
Right.
But we get immigration, we get driver's licenses, we get preachers, and we get gaffes.
Right.
That's all they want to talk about.
They couldn't care. They don't even know what the specifics of the FISA debate are, literally. I mean, they couldn't care less. You think Chris Matthews has any understanding about what the FISA legislation is about?
Now, somebody told me today that Chris Matthews wants to run for the Senate in Pennsylvania. I say, ha!
As what? That's my question. What party would want him?
Yeah, that's a very good point.
And the other thing that really ticked me off with the Tapper thing, and normally I wouldn't write about it, but it was, he said, well, this might not seem important, and a lot of people don't like the press, but we really do see ourselves as the people's representative, and we're trying to hold leaders accountable and make sure they lead us down a path we think is right. And I read that, I almost fell off my chair. A, this smoking nonsense has nothing to do with holding people accountable. And since when did journalists decide that they were in charge of leading the country down the right path? I mean, it boggles my mind.
Well, and nobody shadowed Mike Huckabee to see how many Twinkies he was consuming,
right.
Despite his massive...
They would never deal with this total trivia. Republican candidates don't have to deal with this nonsense. It only is of interest to Democratic candidates for the press because Democratic candidates are inherently phony and calculating, and they're not who they say they are. Republican candidates... Except maybe Mitt Romney. Maybe Republican candidates, in general, are who they say they are. They're authentic. They have nothing to hide. This trivia, whether it's a cackle or a haircut or a smoke, the press would never dream of raising this stuff with them because they have too much respect for them. They don't have nearly as much respect for the Democrats.
And this is a replay of the anti-Gore campaign in 2000, where the internet and the Love Canal and Love Story were all played as issues. Love Story is an issue? Where Al Gore overstated or hyped or even lied about his involvement or responsibilities.
Yeah, and with the Hillary thing, it's become an issue, and it makes me very nervous because I see a lot of progressives jumping on it as well. And I don't think we want to go down that path by, A, hyping these non-stories,
mm-hmm.
and, B, suggesting Democrats, we can read the character of a Democrat based on a mistold anecdote.
Well,
we didn't like it when the press did it to Al Gore,
right.
and I wish people wouldn't do it to Hillary Clinton, unless it was really legitimate.
The Tuzla story, I think, has much more traction and more meaning than the mother who died after being allegedly turned away from hospitals in Ohio.
The Washington Post on Monday basically, suggested most of that story was accurate.
Wait.
Why isn't anyone fact-checking John McCain's anecdotes?
Okay, but let me come back to the Ohio hospital story, because what I read was the Times story last Saturday, where they found this hospital that says, no, it didn't happen that way. The sheriff's recollection was incomplete and was based on third-hand information from the family.
Right.
So, again, I don't think that this is a dangerous one, because it was an urban legend, and it really was just there to support the notion that there are many people who are victims of our healthcare system.
If you go online, if you look at a lot of the liberal websites that I enjoy reading, they pounce. They said this proves she's a liar. Her campaign is incompetent, and it makes me. I really wish we weren't having that debate among mm-hmm. the Democratic candidates.
Yeah.
And plus, as I said on Monday, the Post suggested most of the story was accurate.
Okay, I haven't seen that. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Eric Bullard is with us.
Or Tuesday, I'm sorry, and Kornblut had a piece.
All right, I'll look for that. Eric Bullard with us from Media Matters. They're on the web at mediamatters.org. And shifting gears here, Eric, Monday's New York Times, I ripped it out. Maybe it was Tuesday. In the business section, they reported that CBS News is considering outsourcing some of its reporting. Fortunately, it's not to India or, you know, some place like that, but it's to Atlanta. To CNN. And I find this a troubling development on many levels, but the most significant is that CBS is a major broadcast owner. They own a number of television stations that generate a 40% profit margin, and they just laid off a bunch of highly paid reporters to preserve those margins in a down market.
Right.
And those licenses require them to serve the public. While networks themselves are not regulated by the FCC, they are regulated through the stations that they own. And I believe that this is a serious abrogation of the quid pro quo, including the most recent one, where we, the people, gave the networks a huge chunk of spectrum to put their digital television signals on.
Right.
We gave it to them free. And when the government auctioned off the old analog channels to cell phone companies and Google, they raised $21 billion. That is the imputed value of the frequencies that they get for free, and the quid pro quo is that they damn well can afford to front a news operation and pay for it, even if they lose a little money at it.
Right. Well, look, I mean, one of the networks will get out of the nightly news business, certainly within the next 10 years, and this is sort of the beginning of that encroachment, the beginning of that game plan. They will essentially have no news divisions, because once they got out of the nightly news, they'll dramatically cut back whatever news they have on their morning program. It's going to happen, and you're right. The sense of public duty is unfortunately sort of long gone. And as you also point out, they're not bankrupt by any stretch of the imagination. The broadcast network business has changed. All the media landscapes are changing. But I think this is the beginning of walking away from news at CBS.
Yeah. I worked for CBS in the 80s when William Paley, the founder, was still in charge and before the Tisch tobacco interests took over. And it was a very different company, and their sense of duty, obligation to the nation was very different. We're talking with Eric Bullard. We'll take a break and return. If you have a comment, call us at 888-5-PETER-B.
AllEachMounted.com. Get all your receipts online. These paper receipts are killing our trees. 9 million a year, it's just wrong. Everybody,
AllEachMounted.com. Get all your receipts online. These paper receipts are killing our trees. 9 million a year, it's just wrong.
AllEachMounted.com.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. To experience one-of-a-kind dishes, don't forget the weekly specials. The Mexicali Grill is open Monday through Saturday for lunch until 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show. Weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
And the Peter B. Collins Show is continuing, sponsored by Polypoint Press and John Gorenfeld's powerful new book called Bad Moon Rising, about Reverend Moon and the Washington Times newspaper. Check out the video on the web at kingofamerica.com. That's kingofamerica.com. Our music of the moment is by a group called Talk Talk. The song is called Talk Talk. And some loose talk has gotten some talkers in trouble. We'll talk about Ed Schultz and Randy Rhodes in just a moment. Eric Bollard is with us from Media Matters for America. And Chris is on the line from Salinas. Hi, Chris.
How you doing?
Pretty good.
Hey, I question why we can't question Hillary Clinton's character, especially over this the Bosnia, you know, lie, as far as I'm concerned, about the sniper and sniping and all that. She said the story many, many times, and then she said it was sleep deprivation. Well, was she bribed every time she said this story? And I see that is, you got to question her character over this and many other things.
Mm-hmm. It was scripted, too. It was not a, you know, an offhand, unscripted or, you know, just a casual remark. Eric?
Right.
Yeah, I think it was very damaging, and that in and of itself. You know, it was funny. I think really that was one of, the real times this campaign where she personally really screwed up. If you think back on most of the controversies, is about what her husband said or her surrogate said or et cetera. This was, as a campaign should be, about the candidates, and I really think she did screw up badly. My point was, I get very uncomfortable when it then becomes this hospital story that wasn't really a hospital story. Is then sort of tied to it, and then people are saying, okay, two, three more makes a trend, and then we're into Al Gore territory.
Right. And to be fair to Senator Clinton, the Ohio hospital story, she, every time I've heard it, heard her express it, she said that she heard about it from this deputy sheriff.
She didn't mention anyone's name.
She cited,
she never mentioned the hospital's name. The hospital, for some reason, came forward and inserted itself into the story. Here's my point with that.
Mm-hmm.
You basically had the word of a hospital administrator against the word of a you know, well-known Democrat who spent decades fighting for, you know, patients' rights. And it made me really nervous that this, a lot of the knee-jerk reaction was, well, of course the hospital administrator is right. Since when did progressives pick hospital administrators over our own leading Democrats?
Chris, thank you.
Right.
Thank you for the call. Let me jump to Andy in New York. Welcome, Andy. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Eric Bollard.
Hi, Peter. How you doing?
Good, thanks.
You know, I would love to hear the media bring up and talk about why Hillary voted for the bankruptcy bill, why she supported flag burning and put us in a league with Cuba.
No, she
Russia.
Supported a ban on flag burning, a constitutional amendment, and I don't support that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And China. Now, why won't she apologize for her terrible vote getting us into Iraq? Why did she support the Kyle Lieberman? Why won't she support the landmine treaty? Why won't she try to rein in cluster bombs? I'd love to hear him talk about those things. But when that issue in Bosnia came up, and it was so egregious, it was so way out there, sure, let's bring up something and show what this woman is really about. Let's hear it. I mean, let's hear the truth. I mean, she was way out there on that one, way out there.
Mm-hmm. But I would, I mean, that one stands, but I would rather hear the questions you raised.
I would, too. I mean, you know, it just highlights. I mean, the press, those are all absolutely legitimate questions, and a lot of people obviously disagree with her positions on those issues. And I wish we could, you know, I wish there were a debate on her Lieberman vote and on her war vote. We did hear a lot about the war vote previously, but the bankruptcy bill never comes up. None of this stuff is discussed because the press couldn't care less about any of it.
Andy, thanks
you know, regardless of the candidate.
Thanks for your call. Really thanks for bringing those up. Good items. I appreciate it. Now, Eric, I wanted to turn to two of my colleagues in Progressive Talk Radio. Ed Schultz has been widely criticized, particularly on Fox News, because over the weekend, in a warm-up for a Barack Obama appearance,
right,
he referred to John McCain as a warmonger. Now, in the scheme of things, I think it's generally accurate, and while it might not reflect the tone that Barack Obama wants for his campaign, it pales in comparison to the hateful remarks of Cincinnati talk show host and a righty, Bill Cunningham, who kept saying Barack Hussein Obama in a McCain warm-up.
Right.
What's your sense here? Is this one simply opportunism on the part of the right?
I think so. I think they wanted a makeup call for the Cunningham incident. I think Fox News is the only one that's really talking about it, being a warmonger. I don't think it offended America in any sense. I mean, I think what he was saying is that McCain backs a lot of wars. Probably not. I don't think he'll say it again, and I don't think many other, Obama supporters will say that about McCain. But
well, Schultz,
no, I mean,
Schultz has said it again.
What?
Schultz has said it again. He's defending his remarks.
Oh, on his own show.
Correct.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't think he'd be saying in front of, you know, as a semi-official, introducing Obama or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But the Cunningham stuff from the right, which is almost always the case, was very personal. I mean, that was raising doubts about, you know, Obama's heritage and who he was, et cetera. Schultz, I think, inarticulately or inartfully, was making a point about McCain's policies.
Mm-hmm.
Is legitimate. I mean,
right,
you can air those grievances.
All right. Now, what do you? What
he
is
should
your?
Just keep it to his talk show and not be introducing Obama. Is what I guess.
Yeah. All right. Katrina says that he's been talking about it on his show and on CNN. I'm not sure where he appeared there. The other case involves Randy Rhodes, who remains suspended from Air America for some
right
comments that she did not make on the air, and that were not at a political event for Obama or anybody else. But she did cross a line, in my view, by referring to Ferraro and Senator Clinton as whores. The F word, I'm not so offended by, and given the context, this was a nightclub-type setting where Randy was trying to entertain a group of alleged progressives. And so, you know, it may be off-color or inappropriate, but it's the whore term that I think is getting a lot of white people in trouble. We saw Don Imus use nappy-headed hoes.
Yeah.
And I don't use that term, Eric. I don't refer to any woman as a whore.
It is so misogynistic and out of bounds, it shouldn't even be a question. I mean, that is just a lot of the language that so-called progressives are using to describe Hillary Clinton is just so far out of bounds. The language, it's funny, used to be the sort of vitriol, used to be reserved for sort of, you know, the Bush administration and their criminality. And now a lot of it is being adopted by, you know, progressives. And good Lord, let's talk about her bankruptcy bill and her Lieberman bill. But this whore stuff and this just wildly demeaning language, I don't really think it has any place for Air America, whether it's a stand-up act or whatever. I mean, some of this Clinton derangement syndrome is really out of control.
Yeah,
I mean, that's not a whore. That's not language you use to describe any prominent women.
And I think it's white people trying to sound street savvy and hip-hop friendly. And I'm just going to have to admit, I'm an aging white guy. I'm not a member of the hip-hop nation, and I don't call anybody a hoe or a whore.
No, it's really just hateful language. But
Eric Bollert, always a pleasure to talk with you. Thanks for joining us today.
All right, Peter.
MediaMatters.org. Check it out. John Garamendi, California's lieutenant governor, coming up next right here.
I'm John Gorenfeld, and I've just written a book, Bad Moon Rising, because I thought maybe it said something about just how crazy our politics have become when a wealthy newspaper publisher dresses up like King George III in front of congressmen, and no one seems to care. Bad Moon Rising is about the conservative love affair with the Reverend Moon, the cult leader who publishes the Washington Times, travels with the Bush family.
Reverend Moon never tried to tell him what to say.
And puts on Washington's worst dinner parties. The book is Bad Moon Rising, how Reverend Moon created the Washington Times, seduced the religious right, and built an American kingdom. The foreword's by Barry Lynn. Bad Moon Rising follows an all-star cast of conservatives as they sell their souls to a cult leader, from Jerry Falwell to John McCain's top advisor. You name them, they're in my book. Bad Moon Rising. Buy it for a conservative friend and blow someone's mind. Find out more at thekingofamerica.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
In the midst of angry demonstrators,
San Francisco played a game of hide the torch.
More frustration for American Airlines passengers.
I've been trying to fly for 2 days now, and I haven't gotten anywhere.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. The torch could have started a fire. Thousands of pro- and anti-Chinese demonstrators lined the streets of San Francisco waiting for the Olympic torch relay that never came, at least not where they were. At the last minute, CBS News correspondent Bill Whitaker reports city officials changed the route to avoid the crowds.
The fear was that dropping the torch heralding the Beijing Olympics in the middle of San Francisco, one of the most politically active cities in the country, be like dropping a match in kerosene. But sleight of hand, a last-minute route change, made today's run, if not one of harmony like the Chinese had hoped, at least one of calm.
The closing ceremony at the San Francisco Bay waterfront has been canceled and moved to an undisclosed location. President Bush, who's being urged to boycott the Summer Games in Beijing, said today that his plans have not changed. He doesn't want to politicize the Olympics. Now this.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents a word from your valve stem cover.
Thank you. No cameras. Hold
no, wait,
applause.
Hold on. You're a what?
A valve stem cover.
A valve stem?
Yeah, I cover the valve stems on your tires. I know your tires inside and out. Mostly out.
Well, thanks, but I'll ask my Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer about tire inflation, rotation, special
offer. Fine, then I'll just keep doing what I do best.
And that is?
Covering valve stems.
Right.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service. Come in, keep going.
Tell me what you want.
Dell has people talking, like the customer who wrote exactly what small businesses have needed for years. Need savings too? Take $250 off on a select Dell Vostro desktop with a 20-inch widescreen flat panel monitor featuring Intel Core 2 Duo processor. Put Dell to work for your small business at Dell.com/radio. Prices do not include taxes and other fees. Limited time offer. U.S. only, subject to change.
If you're booked on American Airlines, the news has gone from bad to worse. The carrier now says it has no hope of resuming normal operations until Saturday. The wiring inspections on MD-80 jets forced it to cancel nearly 1,100 flights today. CBS News correspondent Nancy Cordes has more.
We're looking at about 100,000 passengers stranded today on top of about 60,000 stranded yesterday. American says it's trying to rebook all those passengers on other flights, on other airlines. But as you can imagine, with this number of passengers, this is something that's really difficult to do. We've heard from passengers who have said the airline might be able to get me out tomorrow, but it might not. I just don't know.
American spokesman Daniel Garten says they're extremely sorry.
We know how difficult this has been, whether you're on a leisure trip or a business trip. This kind of interruption is truly unacceptable. And we are doing everything we can right now to try to help our customers.
But the help leaves a lot to be desired. This passenger in Orlando finds himself in a time warp.
They rebooked my flight for tomorrow and failed to rebook my return flight from Chicago, and so I'm actually scheduled to arrive in Chicago 2 hours after my return flight takes off.
American says about 900 cancellations tomorrow. U.S. counterterrorism officials confirmed that one of the top 10 al-Qaeda figures is dead.
Abu Ubaidah al-Masri was not the best-known al-Qaeda terrorist, but U.S. officials say he was very significant. Most recently, he was thought to be in Pakistan's tribal region where he was working to train suicide bombers for attacks against the West.
CBS News correspondent Bob Orr says al-Masri is believed to have died of natural causes. He was considered the mastermind of the London transit bombings in 2005 and the failed plot to blow up 10 airliners over the Atlantic. General David was back on Capitol Hill today telling the House that al-Qaeda in Iraq and other groups would love to exploit a U.S. troop withdrawal.
Iraq could face a resurgence of AQI, or additional Shia groups could violate Sadr's ceasefire order. External actors like Iran could stoke violence within Iraq, and actions by other neighbors could undermine the security situation as well.
This was the fifth anniversary of the fall of Baghdad. A new high for crude oil during trading today on the New York Mercantile Exchange. It topped $112 a barrel before settling just under $111. The market was driven by an unexpected drop in oil and gasoline inventories, but analyst Tom Bent says the main factor is the reduced purchasing power of the dollar.
What's been happening in the commodity markets in the last 6 months has been directly related to the weak dollar. Until we can find a bottom in the dollar, it does look like we are going to continue to see upward pressure on commodity prices.
AAA now pegs the national average for regular gasoline at a record $3.34 a gallon. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Now you can lower cholesterol by taking a Centrum multivitamin. Introducing Centrum Cardio, the first and only leading complete multivitamin that can lower cholesterol. Centrum Cardio contains Corowise, a natural ingredient that can lower cholesterol. You may see results in as little as 4 weeks. The lower cholesterol you want from the name you trust. New Centrum Cardio. Good for your cholesterol, good for the rest of you. 400 milligrams free phytosterols taken twice a day for a total daily intake of at least 800 milligrams as part of a diet low in saturated fat and cholesterol may reduce the risk of heart disease.
Have you ever wanted to own a Mercedes-Benz but felt that it was out of reach? Well, you're in luck, because right now Mercedes-Benz is having a certified pre-owned event with special financing on a wide selection of exceptional pre-owned vehicles like the Agile C-Class, the legendary E-Class, the sturdy M-Class, and the spacious R-Class. The Mercedes-Benz certified pre-owned event now through April 30th. And remember, if it's not at your authorized Mercedes dealer, it's not a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz.
See dealer for complete details and warranty coverage.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
It's been a wild afternoon here in sunny San Francisco as the Olympic torch was on parade, diverted off the Embarcadero onto a police boat to avoid the protesters, and then they took it on a completely unannounced route down Van Ness Avenue. Oh, well. Coming up later this hour, Larissa Alexandrovna returns, managing editor of Investigations at RawStory.com. Part 5 of her series about injustice in the South has been published. You've heard about the case of Don Siegelman, the former governor of Alabama. We'll go back to Mississippi a little bit later.
This ain't no technological breakdown. Oh no, this is the road to hell.
Well, it's actually the road to Beijing for the Olympic torch, but you know what I mean. Also, next hour, to kick off the Free Speed Zone, Christopher Cerf and Victor Navasky will join us. Navasky was a publisher of The Nation until he retired a few years ago, and he teamed up with Cerf for a book that has humorous moments. It's called Mission Accomplished, or How We Won the War in Iraq. And the most notable part of it is that all through the book, they have replayed for us the quotes from Tom Friedman and others that, oh, just another 6 months. The next 6 months are going to be critical. The next 6 to 9 months will decide the future of Iraq. Well, they've been saying that for a long, long time. And Navasky and Cerf refer to these as FUs. Friedman units of buying time. And hey, what did Petraeus and Crocker do just yesterday? They kicked the ball down the field for another 6 months. We're going to get back to you in September and tell you then when we might be able to tell you more about drawing down troops in Iraq. So that's the whole game, is simply buying time, and now we're just running out the clock until Bush and Cheney leave office. 888-5, Peter B. is my toll-free number. California's Lieutenant Governor has just rung into our studio here, so we'll get John Garamendi on the air here in just a second. He's with us this half hour, so if you have a question or comment for him, call me toll-free at 888-573-8372. That's 888-5-PETER-B. You can also grab our podcasts and share a segment with a friend. The podcasts are linked on the homepage at peterbcollins.com. And check out our new service for people with those fancy cell phones. If you've got a Trio, a BlackBerry, or an iPhone, there's a neat new service called phoneshow.com, F-O-N-E, phoneshow.com. When you get there, look for the link to radio shows, and then you'll find the Peter B. Collins excerpts there posted, and you can subscribe, and every time we put up a new clip, you'll get an email on your fancy phone, and then you can listen to the segment right there on your new telephone. So that's an exciting new way to hear the Peter B. Collins Show, phoneshow.com. John Garamendi is the Democratic Lieutenant Governor of California. John, how are you today?
I am very, very well, Peter B.
Nice to talk with you. And I want to just bring one thing out from behind the curtain. I want to thank you for your efforts to try to help us save our affiliate in Sacramento, KSAC, which changed to a gospel format a week ago for reasons that are well beyond me. But you were working behind the scenes, and you and I talked a couple of times about trying to bring some fresh advertising to the station to keep it progressive, and I just want to thank you for joining that effort.
I was unaware that that had happened, but that's a problem. The voice that needs to be heard in this area has been silenced. That's a problem.
Yes, it is. It is.
And not just your voice, which is obviously the best voice, but...
Well, that's okay. You don't have to kiss up to me.
It's deserved. It's not kissing up.
John, the Olympic torch parade's been making its way through San Francisco today, and I have such mixed feelings because I think it is important to send a message to the government in Beijing that we don't support their occupation of Tibet, their treatment of the people of Tibet, their treatment of the Uyghurs and others who don't have religious freedom in their country, and there are many other issues that one can confront the Chinese government with. And the use of the Olympics makes some people uncomfortable, but what makes me really uncomfortable is that we have lost any moral ground, unless the, you know, we can't even call it high ground, but any moral ground to lecture another country on human rights, on its occupation of another country. And I just find this very hypocritical of the U.S. at this particular time to try to be shaming the Chinese.
Well, first of all, I think it's important that we do speak out on these issues, and that we do speak out on Tibet and what's happened in Tibet and other human rights issues. The point that you make, however, is equally true, and at least in my view, and that is we have indeed lost our moral authority on these issues. You didn't mention human rights. You did mention human rights issues, but
torture.
About torture,
yeah.
Exactly. When we moved away from the high ground during the Bush administration, we abandoned, the classic position in any conflict is to take the high ground. Now, that's what we used to play when I was in grammar school. It was called the King of the Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And you want the high ground. You don't want to have to, and here we are. We're down, and it makes it very, very difficult. Nonetheless, I think we should be speaking out. We are just, 8 months away from reclaiming the high ground, and hopefully we'll have a president on the Democratic side that is in a position to reclaim the high ground and set this nation back on the right course, putting the interrogation issues aside, the torture, getting out of this war in Iraq. And the great tragedy, Peter B., following 9/11, we had the whole world with us.
Yeah.
The whole world was supporting us, except for just a handful. And we were in a position to really carry the high ground forward and to be able to deal with this. Instead, the Bush administration totally destroyed that.
Mm-hmm.
And now most of the world looks at us and says, who are those guys? What are they thinking? What are they doing?
John, just a quick anecdote. I happened to be in Spain on 9/11. And as we were preparing to fly back, I went to a falafel place the night before. And the guy could tell I was an American, and we didn't share any language. So he came out from behind the counter. He pulled out a newspaper, a tabloid paper, and he feverishly ripped through the pages until he found a picture of Osama bin Laden. He ripped it out. He curled it up into a ball. He popped it into his mouth. He chewed on it. And then in his best English, he said, "You tell Bush, I'll get bin Laden."
Yeah, there you go. There you go. And then Bush totally destroyed all of that goodwill. And here we are.
Yeah.
Here we are where the issue arises from you and others is that we've lost our moral authority. We've given up the high ground on these issues. And we didn't give it up. It was taken away from us by George W. Bush.
And I do applaud those who have peacefully protested and stood their ground to send a message to the Chinese. I don't particularly think it's worthwhile to go out there and tackle the man or woman who is running with the Olympic torch.
Is that happening? That's bad.
It didn't happen in San Francisco, but the cops had to take, they put the flame on a police boat for a while, and then they surprisingly changed the course onto Van Ness Avenue, where no one was expecting the torch to be parading.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know, we shouldn't be engaging in those kinds of activities, but to peacefully and appropriately protest, that's good. We should be doing that.
We're talking with John Garamendi, California's Democratic Lieutenant Governor. He's with us for another 15 minutes if you want to call in at 888-5 Peter B. John, we haven't spoken since the Democratic State Convention in San Jose a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And you were there very clearly stating that you want to run for governor in 2010. And you've got some interesting competition. Jerry Brown, the current Attorney General, seems to want another shot at his old job. Bill Lockyer, the current Treasurer, former Attorney General, former Senate pro tem leader. He's sitting on $10 million, and we're not quite sure if he's ready to come out and run in 2010. Then there's Steve Wesley with his eBay fortune, the former state controller who lost to Phil Angelides the last time around. And I'm just wondering how you size these races up, and your biggest disadvantage is that, well, you're not an eBay millionaire.
No, I'm not an eBay millionaire by several tens of millions of dollars, or millions, period. I think it has the potential of being extremely crowded going into 2010. You didn't mention two mayors, both of whom are expressing interest in it, and there are others, statewide officers that might be interested. It could be very crowded, in which case my attitude is, let's all get together and compete and see what happens here. I'm not at all bothered by a large crowd.
Mm-hmm.
But really, I haven't made any formal announcement about running to begin with, Peter B. You're making an assumption that's not based upon stated fact.
All right, I am seated corrected. The news accounts that I read in the San Francisco Chronicle indicated that you pretty clearly said you were going to run in 2010.
Well, I think that it's really a time where we need change, but we also need change that has a great deal of experience about the issues of California, which are numerous. Everything from the educational issue, higher education, water, climate change, and so on. It's going to be a very challenging period following the Schwarzenegger administration, particularly if we don't deal with this budget issue. If we fail to deal with this budget issue, we're going to have a lingering, serious lingering crisis that's going to affect everything we want to do in California. The intellectual infrastructure, the well-educated workforce isn't going to be available. That will stall, in my view, cause a stall of the California economy, and just a whole series of things. So hopefully many of those will be addressed as we go after this year's budget and find a resolution for it. We can't do it with cuts. Mm-hmm. We have to do what Reagan and that conservative governor, Pete Wilson, and Ronald Reagan did.
Well, even if you're not ready to announce, I will support you. I think you'd be a great governor. You're well-qualified and well-trained for it. We got to take a break. We'll return with John Garamendi and your phone calls on the Peter B. Colin.
Hi, this this is Cynthia from Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore in Carmel, and we have something new, a unique opportunity to give yourself or someone special the gift of consultation with nationally respected life coach and career mentor, Raymond Davi. Paul and I know firsthand the empowerment Ray has to offer. Discover how changes can propel you where you want to go in the areas of personal and career growth or planning goals for ongoing success, as well as insights for your work-life balance. Don't hesitate. Call and reserve your 90-minute appointment or purchase a gift certificate now. Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden, 624-4955 or www.pilgrimsway.com.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale with 2 hours of talk radio all about our daily challenges, our fears, changes, crisis, addictions. Over 1,700 of them, can you believe it? Using the 12 steps, the law of attraction, whatever it takes. Join me Saturday afternoons 3 to 5 with my guests, and we'll find solutions together. The Sheila Show, Saturday 3 to 5 on KRXA, brought to you by Benji's Princess Monterey Whale Watching Trips. Open daily on Old Fisherman's Wharf, Monterey.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Ray of frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
Checking traffic on KRXA. Good afternoon. We'll start things off down in King City. Metz Road southbound at Elm Avenue. An older crash vehicle off the roadway and smacked an embankment. We had a couple of people flee the scene, so a lot of police activity at the area. You may see some heavy traffic as you approach the scene. Live Oak, 17th Avenue at Rodriguez Street. We have a crash with a couple of cars. They're both off to the right-hand shoulder. For Gilroy, San Felipe Road at Dunn Street. Heads up, several goats apparently walking around the lanes. Also in Live Oak, Melton Street at 38th Avenue. Getting reports of an accident, but no further details. Greenfield, northbound 101 after Oak Avenue, heads up, several pallets apparently dropped in the lanes. And in the Santa Cruz Mountains, northbound 17 after Bear Creek Road, a ceramic sink apparently between the lanes. Watch out there. This is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts. Castrol GTX conventional motor oil has patented anti-sludge technology for superior protection against sludge buildup. Get it today at your local Napa Auto Parts store for only $2.99 per quart. If you spot a traffic problem, let us know. 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. If you've been watching the saga of former Alabama Governor Don Siegelman, well, it appears that a Republican plan to pack the courts with pro-business judges is a part of that whole package. Larissa Alexandrovna of RawStory.com has more coming up about 10 minutes from now. We continue now with California's Lieutenant Governor John Garamendi here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And, John, there's been an interesting issue that's arisen over the last couple of months where the governor has actually fired two members of the Coastal Commission, including a relative from the Kennedy family and Clint Eastwood of Carmel, because they wouldn't support his effort to put a toll road through a state park in Southern California. Now, this one seems to send up six or seven red flags.
Well, it certainly did at Easter dinner at the Kennedy compound in Florida. It certainly did. There's a very there are two messages here. One is the toll road appropriate and the proper way, the right way to get transportation, and or is it the wrong place, the wrong way in the wrong place? And the Coastal Commission took this issue up with a very, very lengthy public hearing. I think there was maybe 12 to 14 hours of public hearing at it. And the Coastal Commission voted 8 no and 2 positive to build the, against the toll road. They were basically looking at the Coastal Zone Management Act, a federal law, and the State Coastal Zone Act, and they said that the toll road was inconsistent with those laws, and therefore they voted it to not proceed with the toll road. The Toll Road Authority immediately petitioned the Bush administration, the Secretary of Commerce, to overturn the Coastal Commission's decision, which the decision effectively stopped the toll road. And we recently, just 2 days ago, wrote a letter together with Senator Parada and Steinberg and Senator Kuehl to tell the Secretary of Commerce to deny the appeal and to let stand the Coastal Commission's decision for two reasons. One, I think it was the right decision, and two, it is a terrible, terrible precedent if the federal government yet again takes on a state agency and overrules it. We've seen this in the carbon emission tailpipe issues.
Yeah.
We've seen it in other environmental areas from the EPA, and we really do not want the federal government telling us how or telling us that we cannot protect our coast.
Right. We had the marine mammal case versus the Navy, and the Bush administration tried to intervene and basically just issue a royal order that it shall be so. And the court said, wrong century, King George. Let's go to some phone calls here. Dennis in King City, great to hear from you. How you feeling, Dennis?
Pretty good, Pete.
Good.
And listen, Mr. Garamani, I'm a big fan of yours. And excuse me, I'm recovering from a stroke, so I'll try and get this out as clear as I can.
You sound fine, Dennis. Go right ahead.
Thank you. I went down to Southern California to see my daughter-in-law, and she asked me to go to a union meeting. She's a teacher that's getting laid off down there. So I went to the meeting, and they had questions from the audience. My question was, we called Governor Davis for being $11 billion in debt and probably some other things. This man has got us $18 billion in debt, and he's balancing the budget on teachers and the poor and the handicapped. Why don't we do the same thing? Why don't we go after him?
Is it time for total recall?
Yeah, exactly.
Hold on, Dennis.
I think the answer, Dennis, is that the likelihood of a recall isn't in the cards. However, we do have a terrible budget problem, and it's been ongoing now for 5 years, 6 years actually, and we finally have no more capacity to borrow. Governor Schwarzenegger said he was going to tear up the credit card. In fact, he didn't. He maxed it out. And there's no more capacity to solve this problem by borrowing. We've got a statewide coalition that I put together of higher education, the University of California, State University, community colleges, together with the existing K-12 Education Coalition. You probably attended one of those meetings. We need to get the message out to Californians that the fundamental strength of this economy is a well-educated workforce. And the budget that the governor's put forward, and even the legislative analyst budget, which is somewhat better, nevertheless, both of those budgets are a major disaster for the education system in California. In higher education, we are simply privatizing the world's greatest public education system, the CSU and the University of California, shifting the cost of education to students, just like you were at Stanford or University of Southern California, forgetting that this great state was largely built on a free public education system, K-12, and the universities. We've got to reestablish that. So thank you for attending the meeting. Thank you for raising your question. Okay. And we need to go forward here.
Dennis, go ahead.
Well, one quick thing. We all know Schwarzenegger wants to get Feinstein or Boxer's seat coming up. or we think he's going to go for it. I think if he had a recall on his resume, or even an attempt of it, it might change his mind. He'll find that money someplace else. We have to stop this man.
Well, we certainly have to deal immediately with the budget. I'm not a fan of recalls.
Yeah, me either. I don't believe in ricochet recalls either.
Yeah, I think that I just don't want to go there. We need to play this thing out. If we start recalling back and forth, I think we're all going to be in deep trouble. Everybody's going to look over their shoulder and afraid to do what they need to do.
Yeah. Dennis, thanks for the call, and I hope you continue to feel better. John Garamendi, we'll talk to you again real soon.
Thanks, Peter B. Bye-bye.
Always a pleasure. Coming up next, Larissa Alexandrovna on Justice in the South.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Keeping the Flame. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Can anybody tell me what the Olympic torch protests are really about? Well, Dave, they're about a free Tibet. They're about freeing Tibet from the grip of China. Seriously? We're telling China what to do, even as we wear the clothes they make and balance the federal budget with the money they lend us? Well, Dave, the Chinese are destroying Tibet's culture, a simple and beautiful lifestyle that ought to be preserved. Yes, we admire the simple way the people of Tibet live, no carbon footprint, they recycle everything, and yet none of us would dream of living that way ourselves. Except homeless people, and those are the very people we don't want in our neighborhoods. We visit a place like Tibet maybe once in a lifetime, take stunning pictures, and then neatly package the experience and store it in a box in a 2,500-square-foot house that has air conditioning, three TVs, and seven telephones, and a couple of computers, probably made in China. The Chinese version is that they are bringing progress to Tibet. Thousands of Chinese volunteer for eight-year stints building roads and schools and hospitals because they consider it an impoverished place stuck in a backward culture. But you ought to ring a bell. Every Western country has done this. Heck, it's what America did when we brought progress to the Indians of the American West by overrunning them and forcing them to speak English. And you could argue that the same military evangelism is going on right now in Iraq. I don't say this to excuse China's conduct. They are a police state, after all. But if China's occupation of Tibet could unleash this kind of uproar, thank goodness the Olympics aren't being held here. Now this.
Anyone who's ever wrenched on their car wants the best available parts. For starters and alternators, it's Remy. These are the same guys who kept the world running for 100 years. In Advance Auto Parts, we're here to keep your car running for 100 more. That's why we started stocking Remy. So no matter what you've got going on under the hood, replacing a starter or swapping out an alternator, you'll be doing it with top-notch parts, period. So whatever you're working on, Advance will help you keep the wheels turning. Advance Auto Parts. Keep the wheels turning.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Ever thought about shipping your child to a remote island? Want to send them to their room for the rest of their life? I can help. I'm Mark Lecluse, an intern psychotherapist practicing in SoCal under the supervision of Dr. Chaim Barton. For the past 10 years, I've been helping parents, teens, and kids overcome challenges in their lives, and I'd like to help you too. I can work with your family to resolve conflicts, improve communications, and solve problems. Together, we can turn struggles and challenges into opportunities for growth and connection. I offer an affordable sliding scale and am currently accepting new clients. Please call for an appointment. 831-818-4033. Parenting doesn't have to be so hard. I'm Mark Lecluse. Give me a call. 818-4033. That's 818-4033.
Jim Moore Income Tax in Watsonville has been helping Monterey Bay Area residents with personal income tax preparation for more than 20 years. And this year, Manager Juan Gonzalez is prepared to assist all taxpayers take advantage of tax credits and rebates especially targeted for the eco-minded. The staff of Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in fast, professional income tax preparation at a very reasonable price. Do you have a naughty tax problem? Let Juan Gonzalez and his staff provide the expert assistance you need. Jim Moore Income Tax is located at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. This year, let Juan Gonzalez show you where the green is for green living taxpayers. Visit Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville. Be sure to take copies of your 2006 tax return and all of your 2007 W-2s and 1099s. Remember Jim Moore Income Tax for all of your tax preparation needs.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered.
What?
Except when he's not.
Come on.
Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
It's the only words I've ever gotten from this song. And then there's something about Mr. Jones. So. A band called Counting Crows, but who's counting anyway? I am your humble host, Peter B. Collins. Coming up next hour, we'll kick off the Free Speech Zone with two wacky guys, Christopher Cerf and Victor Navasky. They operate the Institute of Expertology, and they've written a book, partly tongue-in-cheek, called Mission Accomplished. We'll share that with you about half an hour away. But first, Larissa returns. Larissa Alexandrovna from RawStory.com, managing editor of Investigations, part 5 of the series of Justice in the South, has been published just today. And Larissa, a couple of things before we dive into the latest installment here in your expose. Number one, a listener called and said that he's had some trouble locating your stories on Raw Story after they've been through the headline cycle.
Uh-huh.
And I have a little trick that you taught me, which is if you go to the RawStory.com homepage, at the top there's a thing called Raw Exclusives, a button. And if you click on that, a pull-down menu appears with the name Larissa Alexandrovna. And if you click on that, it takes you to a page where all of your stories are archived. And that's right. The easiest way that I find your work.
Well, and this series is also on the front page. It's grouped together in one of the sidebars.
Okay.
So that's if you're just looking for these, that they're on the front page together.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And a couple of follow-ups on the work that you and Scott Horton from Harper's have helped expose. This past Sunday, there was a brief follow-up on the Siegelman case on 60 Minutes. I was frankly disappointed because they gave Doug Feith 20 minutes to lie. And then really just recapped the story. Siegelman got two sound bites, and they said, isn't that nice? Yeah. What was your take on the 60 Minutes follow-up?
Well, the same as yours. I thought it was terrible. They did something online, which was much better, but too bad it didn't run on television. Maybe they were worried about a blackout. I don't know. But Dan Abrams did a great segment with him.
I haven't seen that yet. Was it good?
Oh, it was very good. They really were getting deep into the mechanism of what happened to Siegelman and questions about Karl Rove's involvement, and then sometime during the show, Karl Rove's attorney issued a statement saying that Rove would testify if he were subpoenaed, which
Oh, really?
I thought was hilarious because he's already been subpoenaed and hasn't testified.
Exactly. But he's got time to talk to G, Frick, and Q.
Well, he needed to talk to GQ, and I've seen that whole interview. They've cut it out. And I can't say how I saw it, but let's just say I saw it.
All right.
They've cut out the really aggressive things, but my understanding is that he was very adamant that they ask him about Dana Jill Simpson, the whistleblower in Alabama, and when they did, then he had really interesting, specific, private information.
She's a loon.
Well, no, that's what finally made it, that's what they didn't cut out, but
right.
What I saw was a very sort of aggressive attack, like on her private life. He knew about how many times she was married and what her husbands were like, and he also made really brazenly false allegations that she's had her children taken away from her, which isn't true. But it was just remarkable that someone who says he's never met her, doesn't know anyone who knows her, seems to have all this information about a private citizen.
Well, there is the NSA warrantless wiretapping program.
That's right. Yes.
The other thing that surfaced there that appears to be a canard that he's trying to float is in order to undermine her her whistleblowing, he has said, well, she claims she made calls to a number in Virginia. And he says, well, the Bush-Cheney headquarters was in Texas. But that's narrowly true. But after the Supreme Court decided the election, the transition headquarters was in Northern Virginia in the 703 area code.
Well, he's speaking of the conversation that she's alleging took place in November 2002.
Oh, 02. Okay.
Because that's really what's germane to the story is the conversation that took place between Canary and others saying that they were going to get Siegelman. And Rove kind of tried to confuse several issues by saying, first of all, that she called Virginia, that she that he was on the call. You know, there was all these. He basically took pieces of the truth and cobbled it together into a straw man argument. You know, and basically the whole GQ thing is total nonsense because they apparently don't have fact checkers. He claims that he doesn't appear in the testimony at all, zero times. And then he goes on to bash the media, but who, you know, he claims don't fact check. The reality is he does appear in the testimony, so GQ didn't fact check.
Well, you know, they only fact check on designer labels.
That's right.
You know, if he had said that Dana Jill Simpson was wearing a fake Armani, GQ would have been all over that.
Right. Well, possible.
Larissa, the other thing I wanted to give you credit for was the New York Times finally published a story about what's going on in the Alabama legislature, where, as you reported, three, 4 weeks ago, there's a wave of intimidation, which follows on the Siegelman case, where suddenly, the U.S. attorney has been showing up at the state capitol and issuing documents or subpoenas to sitting legislators?
Well, no. Actually, what the U.S. attorney did was order federal marshals to go onto the floor of the state legislature and deliver subpoenas to Democrats.
There we go.
Is against the law in, well, Mississippi. I actually think most states, when the legislature is in session, you can't send in the federal government representatives onto the floor for something like a subpoena. You can, you know, there's any number of ways to deliver a subpoena. This was clearly done as intimidation. So, and that ties nicely into the interview that ran today, where we see additional intimidation. And together you start to say, okay, you know what? These things must be related because the similarities are astounding.
So let me do a quick recap for the benefit of somebody who may have tuned in today for the first time and you're not familiar with Larissa, with the Raw Story investigations related to Don Siegelman. And I'll sum them up in a couple of points here. Number one, that Karl Rove is at the center of many of these potential conspiracies. Number two, that as Larissa explained to us last week, and it was a real eye-opener for me, the Republican efforts to pack the courts with pro-business judges are showing up all over the country. First of all, Jeffrey Toobin wrote a powerful piece in the New York Times Magazine about 3 weeks ago Sunday, talking about the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, which is going to surface here in a minute, in the Mississippi case, and their efforts to not only cause the court to rule in favor of business interests in many critical cases before the court, but also to shape the court's population itself by supporting pro-business judges like Alito and Roberts. Just the other day, we had James Sample on from the Brennan Center at the New York University School of Law, Larissa, and he told us in some detail about a case where just recently in Wisconsin, I believe the justice's name is Lewis Butler, was the only African-American on the court, And he lost narrowly, 51-49, to a pro-business judge who was supported by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and many other special interests using these independent expenditure campaigns. And, as an African-American, the justice was subjected to a Willie Horton-style commercial,
right,
where it was alleged that he had permitted the release of a man who then reoffended, when in fact he had represented this guy as defense counsel, and then he served his time and later reoffended. He had nothing to do as a judge or a justice with this man's release, but that didn't matter. That was used in the commercial, and he was unseated. And so this really is part of a larger piece, and as people hear about Mississippi Supreme Court Justice Oliver Diaz, understand that this is part of a much bigger picture.
So, sure, and I wouldn't even say their business interests. I'd say their corporate interests and their lobbyists are the intermediaries in packing these courts and brokering deals then once, not just the courts, but the members of Congress, the judges, the whatnot.
Ties into lobbyists like Jack Abramoff and others on K Street, their use of Indian gaming, tribes like the Choctaws in Mississippi. And this
it's basically a takeover, a corporate takeover of the legal system.
Okay.
So that the consumer, the citizen, the plaintiff does not have any standing.
So talk a little bit here, Larissa, about Justice Diaz and the two trials that he was subjected to. And I made a little note here in the margin. This is finding a crime to fit the punishment.
Right. He didn't commit any crime, but apparently he was, what had happened was when he was running for re-election for the Supreme Court in 2000, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce flooded the state of Mississippi to against him. And I should point out that in Mississippi, judges aren't allowed to run on a political ticket. But before he was a judge, he was a Republican state legislature. So this is a Republican in his previous, you know, non-judicial life. So this isn't, you know, a Democrat. This isn't, this is across the board. You see Siegelman in Alabama is a Democrat. This guy's a Republican, but he doesn't rule in favor enough of the corporation. So he's targeted. And the U.S. Chamber of Commerce floods the state, and he doesn't have the money to combat this. So he goes to his really good friend, longtime, longtime friend, and also a really famed Mississippi attorney, the plaintiff's attorney, who's best known for taking on Big Tobacco and winning that massive settlement in the late 90s. Anyway, his name is Paul Miner. So he goes to his friend Paul Miner, and Paul Miner guarantees a loan so Diaz can pay off the debts of his campaign. Under Mississippi law, that's not illegal. That's not even a crime. That's not even unethical under Mississippi guidelines and laws. In other words, no crime was committed. But just to underscore the point, Diaz never ruled in any case. He's always recused himself where Miner or any of his clients or any of his friends or family or anything, if that came up, there is no Diaz on any of those cases. He's always recused himself. So there is no quid pro quo. But even if that were, let's say the allegation is bribery, there's not even a quid pro quo. So there's no law broken and there's no quid pro quo. Okay, so that's basically it.
Right.
But as soon as the U.S. attorney is appointed, who by the name of Dunica Lambton, he begins investigating Judge Diaz because he's a target. He's a target to be removed because he's not fascist enough or not corporate enough.
And Larissa, we have to go to a break. We'll pick up there as we continue. Larissa Alexandrovna from RawStory.com. We're talking about justice or the lack of it in the South. Today we're focusing on Mississippi. More in a moment on the Peter B. Collins Show.
AllEachMoney.com. Get all your receipts online. These paper receipts are killing our trees. 9 million a year, it's just wrong. Everybody now.
AllEachMoney.com. Get all your receipts online. These paper receipts are killing our trees. 9 million a year, it's just wrong.
AllEachMoney.com.
Cornerstone Wellness Center in Monterey specializes in reducing stress and pain in your body. With six professionals, Cornerstone offers hormone balancing for men and women, all natural, no side effects. With our bodies filled with toxins and aches and pains, this approach works. I'm Sheila Gale, and I've lived with chronic neck pain for years. Trina Hammack uses a technique called quantum biofeedback, which to me is a miracle. I feel better and better each day, physically and mentally. Cornerstone offers lymphatic drainage, infrared saunas, ionic foot baths, massage, estheticians, and body strengthening specifically for your body so you'll start living pain-free naturally. Tired of taking medicine? Homeopathy and top-of-the-line essential oils are used. Finally, an alternative that works. Cornerstone Wellness Center, 1088 Cass Street, Monterey. Call today, 373-6204, 373-6204.
Aloha, I'm Jay.
And I'm Ginger.
And we would like to invite you to our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise, serving the biggest, best, and boldest pizzas from our Marina location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, a Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's A Pizza Paradise.
That's 582-9149.
Checking traffic on KRXA. We'll start you off in Santa Cruz. New problem, northbound 1 at Morrissey Boulevard, some plywood. That's in the two left-hand lanes. CHP is going to run a traffic break to get that moved out of your way. Crash in Salinas, south 101 before Russell Road. Big rig and a car, both off to the shoulder. CHP is on the scene. Down in Gonzales, northbound 101 after Oak Avenue. We have pallets reported in the lanes. Watch out there. 17th Avenue at Rodriguez Street, live Oak area, an accident with minor injuries. Two cars off to the side. CHP is on the scene. And Soquel Avenue at Soquel Drive, a two-car crash. That's actually been moved into a nearby parking lot, so it should not be affecting traffic at this point. This is brought to you by Mutual of Omaha. Mutual of Omaha, they have the insurance and financial services to help you prepare for whatever tomorrow holds. Mutual of Omaha, begin today. If you spot a traffic problem, let us know. 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
For more on the Peter B. Collins Show, sponsored by Polly Point Press and John Gorenfeld's powerful new book, Bad Moon Rising, about Reverend Moon and the Washington Times. Check out the video, it's powerful stuff, at kingofamerica.com. That's kingofamerica.com. We continue with Larissa Alexandrovna. Read her latest story, the fifth installment in the series that started with the breaking story about Don Siegelman's conviction in Alabama. And she's moved over to neighboring Mississippi, where Republican National Committee Chair, former RNC Chair Haley Barbour, is in his second term as governor. And what Larissa is exposing here is ugly, and it really details the politicization of our Justice Department. And Larissa, let's talk about the incidental roadkill here for just a second.
Okay.
Because not only did Justice Diaz get thrown off the court and prosecuted twice, but Mississippi Judge John Whitfield, was tried along with Diaz and Attorney Paul Minor. His office was set on fire.
Right.
And Minor is still behind bars. His wife is very ill, as is Judge Whitfield's, apparently.
Well, no, Judge Whitfield's wife is dead.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And he's a single parent, and he's in jail, so his children had to be taken up by family members.
Okay.
Then you've got Paul Minor, who's in prison, and his wife is actually dying of brain cancer. She's at Sloan Kettering, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
And Judge Whitfield's house was set on fire, and Alabama whistleblower Dana Jill Simpson's, his office, her house,
right,
were set on fire.
Mm-hmm.
Justice Diaz, his house was broken into twice. Don Siegelman's house was broken into twice. His attorney's office once. you know, and to me, once you start looking at this as a whole, these do not appear to be unrelated.
Mm-hmm.
They can't be. It's none of these people have ever been a victim of a crime before. They've never had their houses broken into. They've never had their offices and houses set on fire before. This is very disturbing because who's doing this? These crimes aren't solved. To me, the intimidation tactics are the most shocking.
And let's add to this the FBI agent named by Justice Diaz, Matthew Campbell, who was in this Dunica Lampton's U.S. attorney office.
Right.
And he raised questions about this, so they sent him to Gitmo.
Well, they transferred it, reassigned him. Yeah, because if you say they sent him to Gitmo, it sounds like he was arrested. No, he was reassigned to Gitmo. And this guy's a forensic, his specialty is forensic accounting. So what he's doing at Gitmo, I don't know, but that's what they did. And instead, they put in an FBI agent on the case who had worked with Judge Diaz's opponent in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this is really disturbing to me. And to say it's just, you know, politicization, no, we're way past politicization. When you're breaking into people's houses, when you're setting their houses on fire, when you are reassigning professional investigators outside of the country, so they can't be reachable to the public and cannot speak, when you're denying press to people like Don Siegelman, when you're shackling people, that's the other thing. Paul Miner, as Don Siegelman, they were both shackled and manacled and immediately moved out of state, were not allowed out on appeal, and both got extremely harsh sentences.
Yeah.
You know, and this is a pandemic. You know, this isn't isolated to one or two cases. It's just that there's only so many, you know, of us on my team. But I can assure you that there is a number of cases all over the country where this is going on. And here you have a U.S. Supreme Court, a Mississippi Supreme Court justice. In Alabama, you have a governor. You know, this isn't restricted to, you know, the lower-level kind of folks, either.
Well, what you're describing is consistent with a description of a police state.
That's right. That's right. Well, and it reminds me, you know, sadly, of the Soviet Union, because basically, if you haven't committed a crime, it doesn't matter. Your political views or your judge, your rulings aren't in line with a corporate philosophy, and so you're targeted. And then they try to, you know, fix the facts around the indictment. And if that doesn't work, and in Diaz's case, what do? They threaten his wife, indict her, and threaten to take her children away. His ex-wife, rather, pardon me. So this is it's really aggressive. This isn't just, you know, iffy kind of getting someone on a gotcha charge. I mean, we're talking really aggressive laundering and fixing of the facts. And
underscoring that Justice Diaz was originally a Republican before he was appointed in a nonpartisan manner, here's a quote that you have from him. The indictment was used prominently in the Republican campaign. The Haley-Barber campaign used the indictments of Paul Miner, the attorney, and me to taint Governor Musgrove. Miner had been one of Musgrove's largest contributors, and I was his appointee to the Supreme Court. He goes on to tell you, the mechanism used by these groups to target me for defeat was the U.S. Chamber of Commerce.
And when that didn't work, because he won his campaign.
Mm-hmm.
So when that didn't work, what did they do? Now, the current governor, right, this guy, Haley Barber, who's one of the most corrupt politicians I've ever seen in my life, he's a lobbyist. And who are his clients? The U.S. attorney's family's corporation is one of his clients.
Mm-hmm.
And a member of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. The big tobacco is one of his clients. So basically, you've got a lobbyist whose client created an opportunity to both eliminate rulings against them and also to put one of their own as the governor.
Mm-hmm.
And that way he can now stack. You know, I had asked Diaz, what would have happened if you were convicted and removed? Because he's still on the bench.
Oh, he is. Okay, that's good.
He was acquitted. So once he was acquitted, he was back on the bench.
Okay, I apologize then. I misstated that he was bounced off the court, so that was not correct.
He was suspended while he was going through both trials. But if he had been removed, Haley Barbour would have had to appoint the replacement.
Mm-hmm.
That puts him in a very good position to put in, you know, anybody his corporate clients want.
Right. And I got time for a final one here in your Q&A with Justice Diaz. You ask about Karl Rove. He answers, it is widely known that Karl Rove is greatly responsible for engineering the takeover of the Alabama Supreme Court by the Republican Party. Rove's influence stretched into Mississippi through, among others, the Choctaw Indians and their casinos in Mississippi, clients of Jack Abramoff.
Right.
Wow.
Got into the heart of the Jack Abramoff scandal.
Larissa, keep doing it and keep us posted. This is a fascinating story, and I know it's not over.
It's definitely not over.
All right. Great work. Thanks for sharing it with us. Read all about it at rawstory.com. Thanks for listening to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. Grab the podcast, share it with a friend. The link's on the homepage at peterbcollins.com. Coming up next, Christopher Cerf and Victor Navasky kick off the Free Speech Zone with their new book, Mission Accomplished.
I'm John Gorenfeld, and I've just written a book, Bad Moon Rising, because I thought maybe it said something about just how crazy our politics have become when a wealthy newspaper publisher dresses up like King George III in front of congressmen, and no one seems to care. Bad Moon Rising is about the conservative love affair with the Reverend Moon, the cult leader who publishes the Washington Times, travels with the Bush family.
Reverend Moon never tried to tell him what to say.
And puts on Washington's worst dinner parties. The book is Bad Moon Rising, how Reverend Moon created the Washington Times, seduced the religious right, and built an American kingdom. The foreword's by Barry Lynn. Bad Moon Rising follows an all-star cast of conservatives as they sell their souls to a cult leader, from Jerry Falwell to John McCain's top advisor. You name them, they're in my book. Bad Moon Rising. Buy it for a conservative friend and blow someone's mind. Find out more at The King of America.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney.
These people don't care much about freedom of speech. They kind of...
Raucous crowds in San Francisco persuaded city officials to change their plans for the Olympic torch relay. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman is there.
It was supposed to be a glamorous celebration, but in the end, the Olympic torch had to take an escape route, a secret, nondescript run through the streets of San Francisco. City officials say they had no choice, with thousands of demonstrators, both pro and con, confronting each other and at times having to be separated by police. Officials say it was a matter of public safety. This man who supports the Beijing Olympics was disappointed.
It's supposed to be a peaceful and joyful event.
Embarrassed Olympic officials are now expected to reassess the future of the torch relay. Steve Futterman, CBS News, San Francisco.
The closing ceremony was moved from the waterfront to the airport.
I'm Mark Knoller at the White House, where President Bush rejects calls for him not to go to the Olympics. In an interview to be aired Friday on EWTN, he says his plan to attend the Olympics haven't changed, though he doesn't specifically mention the opening ceremonies. He questions whether he'll be more or less effective by politicizing the Olympics.
Barack Obama says President Bush should boycott the opening ceremony unless China takes steps to stop the genocide in Darfur and to ease tensions in Tibet. American Airlines says it will cancel about 900 flights tomorrow with the hope of resuming normal operations by Saturday.
We're, extremely sorry for this great inconvenience. You know, we are humbled by the loyalty of our customers, and we are very, very disappointed to ever let them down.
I'm Peter King at Orlando International Airport. Travelers have their ears to their cell phones with a renewed sense of urgency and resignation.
Been on hold for about 30 minutes.
They're trying to rebook by phone so they can get out of this ever-growing line at the American ticket counter, but patience is wearing thin.
I don't know. Buy American again.
John Keene is trying to get to Dallas. He says there's no excuse for the suddenly urgent maintenance checks.
They should be able to take care of their business without inconveniencing their customers.
Inspections of the wiring on MD-80 jets forced nearly 1,100 flight cancellations today.
Severe storms are pounding parts of Texas and Oklahoma. Reportedly, a tornado touched down near Breckenridge, Texas, and there was hail the size of baseballs in the Abilene area. When President Bush sent the U.S.-Colombia trade agreement to Congress, it triggered a rule that requires action within 90 legislative days. But House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says she'll change the rule.
If brought to the floor immediately, it would lose. And what message would that send?
White House accuses Pelosi of changing the rules in the middle of the game and says it sets an awful precedent for all future administrations when they're negotiating trade deals. The Dow lost 49 points today, closing at 12,527. This is CBS News.
Your lovely tree, attacked by insects. Backed by Bayer's proven science, Bayer Advance created Tree and Shrub Insect Control, the no-spray product that protects trees for 12 months. Just mix and pour, and your tree is shielded, roots to top. Now strengthen and beautify with protect and feed formulas. We don't hate bugs. We just love trees. Help Bayer Advance and the Arbor Day Foundation restore our national forests. Visit BayerAdvance.com/trees for more details.
Changing your oil every 3,000 miles is critical. Sludge buildup inside your engine can reduce power, increase fuel usage, even lead to premature engine failure. Castrol GTX offers patented anti-sludge technology and unsurpassed protection against viscosity and thermal breakdown. And at Napa Auto Parts, you can get Castrol GTX conventional motor oil for just $2.29 a quart. Price does not include state and local taxes or recycling fees. Napa, get the...
A papal visit gives rise to all kinds of tacky souvenirs, but you're not likely to find a bobblehead pope. CBS correspondent Dave Barrett's story.
Pope Benedict comes to D.C. next week. Metro made a promotional video.
Plan for large crowds and be sure to leave plenty of extra time for your trip.
Shown in stations and on location, a bobblehead doll riding the subway. There's this decree. Save time and money by buying a
commemorative one-day Metro Rail Mass Pass.
$5 would get you unlimited rides for one day next Wednesday.
Avoid the unholy traffic. Take Metro. The Pope has his ride planned. You should, too.
Church officials complained about the bobblehead, and now the video has been pulled. Dave Barrett, CBS News.
Benedict will also be in New York during his first U.S. visit as Pope, which begins next Tuesday. Toyota is recalling more than 500,000 Corolla and Matrix models from 2003 and 2004. Bolts on the power window assembly can come loose and cause the glass to shatter. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents a word from your valve stem cover.
Thank you. No cameras. Hold
no, wait,
applause.
Hold on. You're a what?
A valve stem cover.
A valve stem
cover? Yeah, I cover the valve stems on your tires.
Oh.
Ah, I know your tires inside and out. Mostly out.
Well, thanks, but I'll ask my Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer about tire inflation, rotation, special
offers. Fine, then I'll just keep doing what I do best.
And that is?
Covering valve stems.
Right.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury parts and service. Come in, keep going.
Tell me what you want.
Dell has people talking, like the customer who wrote exactly what small businesses have needed for years. Need savings too? Take $250 off on a select Dell Vostro desktop with a 20-inch widescreen flat panel monitor featuring Intel Core 2 Duo processor. Put Dell to work for your small business at Dell.com/radio. Prices do not include taxes and other fees. Limited time offer. U.S. only, subject to change.
From the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We're launching into the free speech zone. I checked during the news break. The First Amendment is still in full effect. Subject to expiration, though, so use your rights while you can. Lines are open for you now, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And you can always email me, that's peter at peterbcollins.com. Or should you take exception to one of my remarks, try full of it at peterbcollins.com. Resist the temptation to make it full of S, you know what I mean, full of it at peterbcollins.com. And to kick off the Free Speech Zone today, we are joined by the co-authors of a book called Mission Accomplished, or How We Won the War in Iraq. Victor Navasky is the publisher emeritus of The Nation, and he is co-founder of the Institute for Expertology. Victor Navasky, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Well, it's good to be with you.
And thank you for rescheduling from Friday when a little gizmo blew up and made it impossible for us to do the show.
Oh, it sounds like the technology our government is using.
Well,
out in the Middle East.
We buy all this junk on eBay, and you just never know how long it will last. And, Victor, this is my first opportunity to talk to you, and I want to thank you for all the work that you've done over the years at The Nation. I've been a subscriber for 35 years.
Wow.
And we feature some of your great writers, John Nichols, Robert Dreyfus, the Ari brothers, Berman and Melber. And you're doing a lot of great reporting there and really helping set the tone and the agenda for a progressive nation that may appear at any moment.
Well, I appreciate that. And in my other life, I chair the Columbia Journalism Review. But in my current life, I co-found the Institute of Expertology with Chris Cerf.
And talk a little bit about the Institute, because it kind of reminds me of Judge Sirica's panel of experts who were trying to explain how Rosemary Woods installed that 18-minute gap on Nixon's Watergate tape.
Well, that's good. We founded the Institute almost 25 years ago, and we published a book called The Experts Speak, The Definitive Compendium of Authoritative Misinformation.
Uh-huh.
And it was sort of a Guinness Book of World Records of experts who were wrong, and we had everything in there from the head of the World Monetary Fund, who said in 1959 that world inflation was over, to the professor at Yale who said the day before the stock market crash in 1929 that stocks had reached a permanently high plateau.
Mm-hmm.
And we had stuff on Hollywood where Thalberg told Louis B. Mayer that no Civil War picture would ever make a nickel.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking about Gone with the Wind, the highest grossing picture of all time. But we decided it was time to update our experts' study with a study of the experts on the war in Iraq. And in our first book, our problem was we couldn't find any experts who were right. We were ready to admit that in theory the experts were right as much as half the time. We just couldn't find any.
Yeah.
So we decided to study the war in Iraq, and when we studied the war in Iraq, there was too much to put in an updated experts book, so we gave it a book of its own, mission accomplished.
And it's beautiful.
Well, thank you.
I have it in my right hand here. And allow me to introduce
you can swear on it.
Allow me to introduce your co-author, who is not a potted plant and hasn't been able to get a word in edgewise yet.
Right. Well, that's our system.
Christopher Cerf, I blame you because your dad published the Insult Dictionary somewhere back in the 50s, and my little brother memorized it.
Uh-oh.
And family gatherings are replete with updated versions of those insults every time.
I really am sorry, Peter.
And, of course, Christopher is excellent in his own right. We blame you for all of the Sesame Street kids who've grown up and gone to jail.
Well, that's probably true. It's totally our fault.
Well, it's all those songs that you wrote.
I don't know if you know, Peter, that actually, and I'm not making this up, that the BBC reported a few years ago that the PSYOPs people from Fort Bragg were using Sesame Street songs to torture Iraqi prisoners. So it's kind of full circle.
Well, there's a whole book in that, you know, the playlists of the torture chambers. Mother Jones Magazine had a sidebar in a recent issue where they listed the top 10 iPod tunes of the people who conducted the enhanced interrogations. Now, gentlemen, let me tell you that the most satisfying element, and this book is powerful, it is a compendium of all the inaccurate experts who have opined about Bush's war in Iraq over the last 5 years. And the real coup de grace, as they would say in a Steely Dan song, is the FUs. And so, Chris, could you explain to us what an FU is?
An FU is a Friedman unit. The name comes from Tom Friedman, the expert columnist of the New York Times. And the term was actually invented by the blogger Duncan Black, who uses the name Atrios.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that he used it was that Tom Friedman made a brilliant prediction back in 2003 or so that we would know for sure how the Iraq war was going to turn out within 6 months. And the only problem was that he kept making that prediction over and over again as time went on. I think Victor has
some of the quotes there, if you do, Victor.
All right, Victor, I'm at the one December 20th, 2005. We're at the beginning of, I think, the decisive, I would say, 6 months in Iraq, Thomas Friedman.
Right.
Flip the page the next day, December 21st. I mean, if nothing, this guy is consistent. The next 6 months will tell us a lot. I remain guardedly hopeful.
Yes. No. If I read you all of the times when he says that we'll know in 6 months, it gets very embarrassing.
Right. Well, back in 2005, for example, he said we're in the end game now. I think we're in a 6 month window here where it's going to become very clear. And then in 2006, he said we're going to know after 6 to 9 months whether this project has any chance of succeeding. So
right.
It went on year after year.
And we got a big FU from Crocker and Petraeus yesterday, because what did they do?
They said we'll know in 6 months.
Yeah.
Not only that, but actually, if you add up the time, it's going to be about September that we would know, which is exactly what they said the last time they testified.
Well, and then Petraeus said that under heavy questioning from Senator Levin and others, that he really couldn't commit to after September when he would actually float a plan for bringing home more troops from Iraq. He was extremely fuzzy, and it just coincides with buying enough time to get to the November elections.
Coincidence, isn't it?
It is.
But, you know, these guys, this is Victor, but these guys, you've mentioned the generals, and you've mentioned Friedman of the Press, but it's also the scholarly community. You know, the leading scholar on the Middle East, Fuad Ajami, who's a professor of Middle East studies at Johns Hopkins, he said in October of 2002, before the war began, we shall be greeted, I think, in Baghdad and Basra with kites and boomboxes. And the other leading scholar, Kenan Makia, who's an Islamic scholar, disagreed with him because he said in March, I think they'll be greeted with sweets and flowers. So that's the level of disagreement in the scholarly community.
And Victor Nabasky, the boomboxes actually turned into IEDs.
Yes, and with great illustrations, by the way, that Bob Grossman did for that in this book.
Mm-hmm. Now, as you culled through the reams of commentary about this war, and I'll direct this to Chris, how did you decide what to use? There is so much misguided commentary about this mistaken war and occupation that it's almost mind-boggling. How did you decide what would fit in the book?
Well, it was hard. I think the main thing we did was to try to make sure we covered the various aspects, you know, by subject. So whether what happened before the war, what happened when the insurgency started, what people had to say about that, what they had to say about contractors. We try to do it chronologically by subject, so you can really see the patterns of thought over time. And, of course, leading up to the war, you have kind of an orchestrated attempt to sell it. I'm not really speaking as an expertologist who is neutral when I say that, so I should probably withdraw that.
But whatever theories we had, you know, there are quotes that you just can't not put in. So Bill O'Reilly said in January of 2003, I'll bet you the best dinner in the gaslight district of San Diego that the military action will not last more than a week. Are you willing to take that wager?
Well, let me top that from your own book here, Victor. I'm on page 77.
Right.
Alan Colmes, the lowercase lefty,
yes,
on Fox News. Now that this is April of 2003. Now that the war in Iraq is all but over, should the people in Hollywood who oppose the president admit they were wrong? Remember, he's the token lefty on Fox News.
Well, ironically,
and then
his radio show the other night, and he said that he had to read that line, that he didn't really actually think it or say it.
Oh, well,
it's interesting.
Sorry, so Maliki's not the only puppet in this play. And then here's my friend Bob Edwards, who I have a lot of regard for.
That's
used
right
to be on NPR. This is April 28, 2003. Congress returns to Washington this week to a world very different from the one members left 2 weeks ago. The war in Iraq is essentially over, and domestic issues are regaining attention. I'm Bob Edwards.
We're sitting here, and right under that, by the way, under that quote in our book on the same page, is who else but General Petraeus in October of 2005 saying the developments over the next several months, this is 2005, 2005 will be critical, as General Casey and General Abizaid said, and the Secretary made very clear over the course of last week. And then, you know, we're sitting here on the Upper West Side of Manhattan, so the other quote on this page that is germane is Charles Krautheimer, who's this Washington columnist, and he said, the only people who think this wasn't a victory, this is in April 2003, are Upper West Side liberals, and a few people here in Washington. He's right. We thought it wasn't a victory.
That's Victor Novasky with Christopher Cerf. Their new book, Mission Accomplished. Yes, the Institute of Expertology is on the Peter B. Collins Show. You got a comment? Bring it on now. Bring it on. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
Looking for ways to improve and beautify your landscape with sound environmental practices and enjoy seasonal produce from your own land? Well, Tree of Life Ecological Services offers landscaping and design to suit your specific garden needs, large or small. Contact Tree of Life Ecological Services at treeoflifees.com or call 831-566-EDEN. That's 566-3336.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Checking traffic on KRXA. It's calmed down just a little bit. Just one crash out there with injuries. Dobbinbiss Avenue at Soquel Drive. Vehicle and a bicyclist involved. Looks like emergency crews headed out to the scene. That may cause delays in the area. Highway 17 making your way through the Santa Cruz Mountains. Currently checks installing accident-free. South 17 onto southbound 1 seeing the everyday heavy traffic once you hit the area. For Santa Cruz, Highway 1 both directions between Market Street and Morrissey Avenue. You're going to see a little bit of heavy traffic. We still have that Brantford 40 Avenue overcrossing coming down, and that may cause delays. Highway 68, no stalls, no accidents so far this afternoon. Earlier crash, Salinas, South 101 before Russell Road, big rig in a car. They've both been escorted off to surface streets. Possible delays as you make your way through the area. This traffic report is brought to you by Subway, $5 footlongs. Hurry into Subway because right now, for a limited time, get any freshly made, mouthwatering regular footlong sub for just $5. $5, Subway, eat fresh. I'm Nate Nix, and that is traffic on KRXA.
We can continue on the Peter B. Collins Show with Victor Navasky and Christopher Cerf. That's C-E-R-F, nothing to do with waves in the ocean. And their latest book from the Institute of Expertology, Mission Accomplished, or How We Won the War in Iraq, Equal Parts Tragedy and Farce.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am a member of the interim Iraqi government. I'm sure you heard that our recent elections went very well. Of course, there were a surprisingly large number of votes for Pat Buchanan, but that's neither here nor there. Everything was fine. And my first official action, of course, was to go and have my state-sponsored physical. The doctor performed some tests and told me I have 6 months to live. And I told him, woohoo!
Call Tom Friedman.
You know, 6 months. I mean, it's a lot longer than most people in the Iraqi government can look forward to, so I've got that going for me. Anyway...
Saddam Hussein now has weapons of mass destruction.
Iraq's weapons of mass destruction.
A clear threat to the United States.
And there's dozens of ballistic missiles.
It is sponsored and sheltered terrorists.
Paying suicide
bombers.
Chemical
weapons are equally chilling.
Biological weapons, including anthrax and botulism toxins.
Biological and chemical agent to kill millions of people.
Chemical weapons, including VX and sarin, mustard gas.
To a massive and sudden horror.
Massive death. Destruction.
Oh, where are those pesky WMD? Chris Cerf and Victor Navasky. I'm now on page 96 of your book in the chapter, The Next or Next to Last Words on WMDs. And Chris, let me begin with you. What is your favorite quote here about the non-existent weapons of mass destruction?
Well, it's really hard to pick one, but I think that when Bush actually said, we found them, it's kind of a... says it all for me.
Yep, this is in Poland on May 29th, 2003. We found the weapons of mass destruction. We found biological laboratories. You remember when Colin Powell stood up in front of the world and said, Iraq's got laboratories, mobile labs to build biological weapons. They're illegal. They're against the UN resolutions, and so far, we've discovered two. Only those were little devices used to launch weather balloons.
That's right. That's how it turned out. And, of course, one of the points of the work we do is that people don't really go back and check and they remember the big quotes, maybe, but not the ones like that. And that's a good one to remember at a time like this.
And, Victor, we've got Rumsfeld here saying, we know where they are. They're in the area around Tikrit and Baghdad and east, west, south, and north somewhat.
Right, and the warrant officer in charge said, we're not going to find just a smoking gun, but a smoking cannon. And the other thing about what we found is that the... they don't always agree with each other. For example, if you look at page 10 on the question of nuclear weapons, Cheney says, we know Saddam has been absolutely devoted to trying to acquire nuclear weapons, and we believe he has, in effect, reconstituted nuclear weapons. And this is on March 16, 2003. Then, 2 months later, they asked Donald Rumsfeld about it, and he says, I don't know anybody that I can think of who has contended that the Iraqis had nuclear weapons.
Well, you just heard the sound bites of Rice, of Bush, and Cheney, is strongly implying that, if not explicitly asserting it.
Right. And he also said they have weaponized chemical weapons. We know that, Rumsfeld said. So they contradict themselves without shame.
Yeah, a couple of years ago, before Rumsfeld went into retirement again, my friend Ray McGovern, a former CIA officer, was legally invited to an event in Atlanta. There was a Q&A session. He legally went to the microphone, and he just point-blank asked Rumsfeld, quoting the north, south, east, and west line, you said that, and where are they? And he was booed. Ray was. An effort was made to remove him from the room, which Rumsfeld temporarily halted. And then he proceeded not to answer the question.
Right. Well, that's supporting free speech, of course.
Yeah, yeah. It's fascinating.
But the other thing is that some of the things that they said are surrealistic. It's not a question of did they have weapons of mass destruction. I mean, one of my favorite quotes in this book is the president himself on May 25th, 2004, met with Iraqis receiving medical care in the United States, and here's what he said. I'm honored to shake the hand of a brave Iraqi citizen who had his hand cut off by Saddam Hussein.
Ooh.
Oh. That's pretty gruesome. It's weird.
Yeah, it is. Now, one last thing that we can touch on here. We've spent a lot of time over the last 10 days talking about John Yoo's now infamous torture memos.
Yes.
And you have a section of the book, Torture, the New Paradigm, with all of these right-wingers playing down what's really going on there.
Right.
And it's just bizarre to reread the quotes from Limbaugh saying it's just like a frat party.
And you himself, who said reasonable people will disagree about when torture is justified.
Yeah, and they become more reasonable when you torture them, don't they?
Well, and also he's the guy who wrote the thing which says, and we quote this in the book, the Geneva Convention does not apply to the war on terrorism. And then they have to retract that.
We
have quotes on Abu Ghraib, you know.
Yeah.
People are saying it's going to, Wolfowitz says about Abu Ghraib, we are treating the Iraqi prisoners extremely well. In fact, I think they get good food and shelter, and they're free from the horrible commanders they used to work for. I think most of them are much happier, frankly.
Just amazing. Well, gentlemen, I want to thank you very much. I commend your book as an interesting reflection on history, but it's done in a somewhat lighthearted way that I think makes it a little bit easier going down. Thank you very much for joining us, Christopher Cerf and Victor Navasky. The book is Mission Accomplished, or How We Won the War in Iraq, from the Institute for Expertology. It's out there in soft cover at a bargain price, so go grab it. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Coming up next, your calls in the Free Speech Zone. Tell me what's on your mind at 888-5-PETER-B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Do you want some downtime? A break from work and worry without breaking the bank? At the Dunes and the Spa at Pajaro Dunes in Watsonville will give you the breathing space you need. The Spa at Pajaro Dunes is now open to the general public. Spend an hour being pampered with a warm stone massage or European facial. Gather your friends together for a spa party or surprise your sweetie with a couples massage. Stay for a long, lazy weekend in a luxurious condo at the Dunes with 150 acres of beach and wetlands. You'll have your own ocean view, and the price is unbeatable. Only a short drive from anywhere on the Central Coast, relief is only minutes away without the time and expense of a long trip. We'll also simplify your wedding plans. Have your ceremony, guests, and special events all in the same place. In nearby Watsonville, at the Dunes and the Spa at Pajaro Dunes will make your life a little easier and a lot more enjoyable. Call 888-91-DUNES and mention KRXA to get our lowest rates. That's 888-91-DUNES.
Our lives are the way they are because we insist upon ignoring one of the deepest truths that has ever been given to us. Hate never yet dispelled hate. Only love dispels hate. These are the words of Buddha from the Dhammapada. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and how honored I am to be with you on Saturday and Sunday mornings here on KRXA 540 AM. At 9 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to offer to you the alternative to hate and maybe help you understand the ebb and flow of love and exactly what love can be and do for a person like you and me. The peace we seek in this world is not through politics, religion, or philosophy. It is found in those moments of deep and profound silence where we recognize the truth that hate never yet dispelled hate. Only love can dispel hate. Come and join me, won't you?
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Go ahead. Take a deep breath. Yep, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system. Your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there. And who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We're in the free speech zone here, and the switchboard is open for your phone calls. Any subject, any point of view, call me from anywhere within the sound of my voice. And it's toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And I got a couple of DVDs of the film Uncounted that I'll give away willy-nilly to callers over the next half hour. So get on the line now, 888-5-PETER-B. And I want to get your comments on things in the news. Petraeus and Crocker back on Capitol Hill today, this time talking to the lower house, the House of Representatives committees. I have not had a chance to hear any of their testimony, but I'll get caught up on it tonight. Maybe you have, so you can advance the story for us, 888-5-PETER-B. Also, there were problems, I don't know the full details, with the Olympic torch run through San Francisco today. I only know that due to protesters, at one point, the police diverted the torch bearer off the Embarcadero, which is the beautiful boulevard along the waterfront, and onto a police boat. And then the torch came ashore at some later point, and they changed the course to, I guess, confuse the protesters. And they had even put out a plan B that I was suspicious of that was published in the San Francisco Chronicle today. But as we discussed with Lieutenant Governor Garamendi last hour, it points up some real serious problems here. I certainly support those who went to protest, particularly those who didn't attempt to interfere with the progress of the torch run. And I salute Nancy Pelosi and Hillary Clinton, who have called upon President Bush to announce that he will not attend the opening ceremonies in Beijing. But as I've mentioned, it's awkward, because our government has sullied the reputation of the United States to the point where if we accuse China of torture, of human rights violations, of occupation of Tibet, what are they going to say to us? What will the world community hear? The nation of Abu Ghraib and Guantanamo Bay says that China doesn't honor human rights. The nation that's in its fifth year of an illegal occupation of Iraq says that we should not occupy Tibet. And just as the U.S. Would respond and say, stay out of our business, China will say, well, not only do we want you not to meddle in our internal affairs, but we happen to be sitting on billions of dollars in American treasury notes. And if you piss us off too much, we'll take action to either undermine America's debt by selling it to a third party that would be even more egregious than China? Or what if they called the debt? What if they started cashing in treasury bills? Given the wobbly nature of our economic system, and the estimate that was released today, that the write-downs in this global credit crunch that they're euphemizing it as could reach as high as $1 trillion. An interesting report last week on the housing crisis in this country showed that of those vulnerable to foreclosure, about half have hit the wall and gone into foreclosure. That number represents about 8% of mortgage holders in this country. And there are another 3.5 or 4 million who could go into default over the next 2 years. And that could get us up into double digits in terms of the percentage of mortgages that are unsound, that are underwater, that are leading to foreclosure and in some cases bankruptcy. And so not only are we lacking a moral basis to attack China, we are vulnerable to economic repercussions. In other words, we're on our frickin' knees. To put it in street language. So that's why I have mixed feelings about this. I certainly support those who are peacefully protesting and sending a message to the Chinese government that they, as citizens of this world, do not approve. But when we get into any kind of official actions, well, that's when it becomes very dicey and we could pay a very significant price. And I'm not one of those people who counsels that because China controls our debt, that we should act like we are, under the thumb of a dominatrix. I'm simply a realist and recognize that that's where the power lies right now. 888-5-PETER-B. Lines are open. It's your free speech zone. Use it. 888-573-8372. I was really impressed with our lead-off interview today. Not because I did it, but the comments from former Republican, former Senator Lincoln Chafee of Rhode Island. He left the Republican Party last year. And, of course, he was one of the few, if only, Republicans to vote against Bush's march to war in the fall of 2002. And Chafee had critical comments for Democrats and Republicans. And I don't disagree with him. I think he was certainly well within his rights to criticize the support of Democrats, as I referred to them, the enablers, who, for political or other reasons, chose to support the war, even if they had misgivings and even if after the fact they changed their minds. And Lincoln Chafee has a new book out called Against the Tide. We have put in for a copy, and when we get it, we'll read it and then invite the senator back on the program. I found him quite interesting to talk to. Also, last hour, you heard Larissa Alexandrovna talk about the situation in Mississippi and the case of Justice Diaz. And if you take away only two things from this particular episode, it's part five of her incredible series at rawstory.com. Take away these two things. Karl Rove was at the center of all of this. He's been packing state courts with Republican judges since the early 90s, started in Texas, moved on to Mississippi and Alabama. Countless other states may be involved too. And the second piece is they wanted to pack the courts with pro-business, pro-corporate judges. And what Larissa opened my eyes about last week is that this was a very strong reaction among Republicans and business interests to the tobacco settlements of the 1990s. And isn't it fascinating to see that Republicans and corporatists will close ranks around the tobacco companies? And what did that lawsuit, that master settlement, establish? It's that cigarettes are a lethal product. Yes, they are legal. They are legal and lethal. And here are Republicans cozying up to corporate interests to pack the courts so that the legal system couldn't produce another huge setback for a corporation. Like Philip Morris. Oh, I'm sorry, they have a new name, Altria. We know who they are, and we know what they do. So I think these are all very fascinating connections. And if we could get Karl Rove to honor a subpoena and not just an interview request from GQ, we might learn the extent to which the Justice Department's politicization, the court-packing process, you know, there was a Wednesday meeting with Karl Rove and Monica Goodling from the Justice Department every week at the White House to talk about judicial appointments and their strategies for the courts. So this was a top priority, a major agenda item of the Bush administration. And Larissa and the Raw Story team, with some help from Scott Horton over at Harper's Magazine, they've done an incredible job of digging into these complex and difficult stories that were intentionally complex to make them harder to decode and decipher. And I hope they will stay at it, because what I see emerging are the threads here of the money in politics, the corporate money that came into the Republican Party, and some of that's now flowing into the Democratic Party with the expectation that Democrats will take over both branches in the White House this coming November. And we have to be prepared that the same corporate interests that have corrupted the Republican Party and led to the very issues that I just described could infect the Democratic Party as well. It's fair to say that both Clinton and Obama have accepted a lot of money from business interests. Now, in the last 4 months, most of Obama's money has come from John and Sally Q Public in contributions of just around $100, about 1 million donors. That would help insulate him from the influence of big business. Senator Clinton, I can't say the same. Now, her fundraising over the last few months has been very good. It pales in comparison to Obama, but he's the phenom here. She's number two. McCain is well back in third place in fundraising. But when you look at the tax returns released by the Clintons last Friday when you were expected to be busy with other things, you see the massive amounts of money that Bill Clinton has collected for speeches. And some of those same interests have funded Hillary's campaign. I'm pretty uncomfortable with that. And if you recall recently, she proposed that the president should name a commission to deal with the housing crisis. And not one homeowner or consumer was mentioned. Paul Volcker, a very extreme conservative, fiscal conservative Republican. Milton Friedman. No, I'm sorry, not Friedman, the former Fed chair, Greenspan, Alan Greenspan, and then Bob Rubin, Bill and Hill's buddy from Wall Street, who was Secretary of the Treasury during the 90s, during the Bill Clinton presidency. How about a homeowner? How about somebody who's been foreclosed on? I don't think it even comes into Senator Clinton's thinking. And now with the departure of Mark Penn, because he cozied up with the Colombian government and took money from them to lobby against Hillary's position, which is currently against the Colombia trade deal, we learn that Bill Clinton is in favor of it, always has been, and Howard Wolfson, who has replaced Mark Penn as the chief strategist on the Clinton for President campaign, well, his shop only gets $30,000 a month from Colombia to support the free trade deal. Ouch. Margie in Oregon's on the line. Thanks for calling, Margie.
Hi, Peter B. Actually, I called with a little tidbit from Martha Raddatz, but first I wanted to ask you, I've been wondering regarding McCain, you know, when his campaign just was running out of money and he was running out of gas in
right.
the car.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if his wife is so rich, why wasn't she or her family loaning him money for his campaign?
Well, that's a good question. I guess Budweiser stock is down these days. I don't really know. But it's a very good point. You know, because of his marriage, he is worth quite a bit of money. And what he did is he went to a bank, he borrowed $3 million, and he leveraged it against accepting federal money, which he didn't, in fact, accept. So it's put him in a very interesting quandary. Hey, I got to take a break, Margie, but hang on. We'll get back to you right after the break, okay?
Okay.
888-5 Peter B. Free speech. Free speech.
Come fly with me. Let's fly. Let's fly away.
This is Barbara Mossberg, your host of the Poetry Slowdown. I'm inviting you to join me for a poetry reading I'm giving to support this show of my poems of 30 years called Fat Lady Flying. Me, a quivering wreck, getting on a plane, yet hoping futilely to get the part of Peter Pan or the Witch and Wizard of Oz, too plump to hoist into the harness. I release my inner witch and invite you to come fly with me April 11th, 12th, and 13th at the Cherry Center in Carmel, Friday and Saturday nights at 8, 2 Sunday matinee, right after our show here. I told my 5-year-old son and mom, if you promise to let me write this down, I will buy you an ice cream. Well, if you come, I'll buy you ice cream and a chapbook of this poem, which you will see enacted before your eyes with blue songs by Anne Marie Hunter. Go to Ticket Guys online or call the Cherry Center in Carmel, 624-7491. That's 624-7491. And I'll see you on stage, on the page, and right here, Sundays, making the morning last.
Fly with me, let's fly away.
AllEtronic.com. Get all your receipts online. These paper receipts are killing our trees. 9 million a year, it's just wrong. Everybody,
AllEtronic.com. Get all your receipts online.
AllEtronic.com.
Checking traffic on KRXA. Looking pretty good right now. Just one accident for Soquel City Streets. Dobbinbus Avenue at Soquel Drive. Vehicle and a bicyclist involved in a collision. Looks like emergency crews should be on the scene off to the shoulder. Soquel Avenue at 7th Avenue, Live Oak area. We have a broken down dump truck that's partially blocking the roadway. You do have a tow truck on the way out for that. Highway 17, as you make your way through the Santa Cruz Mountains, stalling accident free. Seeing that heavy traffic.
For a little dead air and delay there. I was engrossed in an email and I forgot to watch the clock. The clock says it's time for me to start talking again. 10 minutes in front of the hour, the Peter B. Collins Show, and I've got a line open if you want to comment in the free speech zone here. 888-573-8372. 888-5-PETER-B.
Never met, but in a way I know. Didn't think that you could get so much from her. Did you show me that's first real people lost? What's the deal? This ain't how it's supposed to be. Don't I know as a rich and
Our program is sponsored by Polypoint Press, publishers of John Gorenfeld's powerful new book called Bad Moon Rising, all about Reverend Sun Myung Moon and the Washington Times newspaper. Find out more, watch the video at kingofamerica.com. That's www.kingofamerica.com. We're back with Margie in Oregon. Thanks for holding on, Margie.
Hi. Well, what I heard was that Martha Raddatz has been spending time in Iraq and that she was asking troops who they would be voting for.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm encouraged to hear that, I don't know a percentage number, but over and over again, she was being told Obama or Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that good news?
Well, it is, but we believe, based on polling, that most of the military members who voted in the 2004 election voted for John Kerry. And there were some shenanigans with ballots coming in from overseas. And we believe that some of that was because the Republicans believe that most of those ballots were not in their favor. So it's not a surprise to me that at least anecdotally and privately, troops who are on the ground in Iraq would say they want a new administration and not a third term for the Bush gang. And I also think that John McCain's confusion about who is who, Sunni and Shia in Iran and Al-Qaeda, leaves the soldiers who know full well who the enemies are and exactly what kind of a multifaceted civil war that they're refereeing. I think when they hear his comments, like his confusion yesterday in front of Petraeus and Crocker, and the confusion he showed when Joe Lieberman had to correct him when he was on the ground in the Middle East over his Easter recess, I think all of that has to require the troops to think, gosh, this guy really doesn't know what he's talking about.
I wonder if there's any way we can make sure their votes are counted this time.
Well, I think that's part of the overall effort to make sure everybody's votes get counted. And we do have to be vigilant. We cannot relax and assume that because Karl Rove has moved to Florida, that our election will be untainted this year.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, Margie, thanks for the call. Hey, do you have a copy of Uncounted?
No, I don't.
Would you like one?
Yeah.
Well, hold on. Katrina will get your address, and we'll put one in the mail to you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, and thanks for calling in today. I appreciate that. 888-5-PETER-B. Eric has emailed regarding the torch relay and San Francisco's response. Hey, Peter B., the tragedy of the torch debacle today, or do you prefer debacle, is that it was not the U.S. government lecturing China, but civilians, he puts in all caps, protesting China. These people are not supportive of the U.S. human rights abuses either, but they happen to be protesting against China from here, so what can they do? The protesters were not violent, but they, along with those who just wanted to see the torch, were purposely silenced by Newsom, that's our mayor, and the Chinese government, who first shortened the route, then at the last minute changed the entire route so that no one, protesters and supporters alike, even the various news reporters covering the event, knew what was up. The police were trotted out like a brute squad to surround the runners, along with Chinese Secret Service officers. There was so much security around the torch that you could only see it on TV from the newscopter's vantage point. They're trying to spin it like there were nothing but rowdy, violent protesters threatening the poor, defenseless runners and pro-China people, when in fact the opposite was true. The one report of a scuffle I heard was a free Tibet guy who was accosted by a couple of people with a huge Chinese flag. This was wrong of Newsom and whoever else turned the event into a mess today, because they overreacted to non-existent perceived threat, to a non-existent perceived threat. In the process, they managed to quash or at least sweep under the rug any voices of dissent within the city of San Francisco. So much for free speech. I swear I thought the SFPD looked like they were ready to either bust some heads or open fire at the drop of a hat. And Eric concludes, Gavin Newsom should be run out of office town for this glimpse into what a total lockdown police state might look like when it comes to our wonderful city. The only voice on the all-news stations who supported the right of the protesters to be there and questioned the rationality of the confused deception of the public was a woman, I forgot her name, who was a former Olympian who ran the torch in San Francisco the last time it came here. She told it like it was regarding the rights of people versus state and the risks slash freedoms that all people, athletes and protesters alike, must be allowed to have regardless of the political environment. Everyone else I heard commentating on any of the newscasts was another chuckling idiot, laughing about how kooky the torch run had become and seeming to approve of the blatant attempt to skirt a targeted segment of the viewing public, silencing their dissent and depriving those who had no political motive at all their right to simply see the torch run through their city. It was awful, I tell you, and I didn't even care one way or the other about it just this morning. I started getting upset as the event unfolded for the reasons I've expressed above. Signed, Eric in San Francisco. Well, thank you for a very thoughtful and detailed email, Eric, telling us your perspective on what occurred. And I tend to share your views here. I really don't think that San Francisco needed to use the tactics that they did. And I'll reserve comment, though, until I have been able to watch the tapes on the news and see exactly how that all turned out And I do share your concern that by changing the route to a direction that nobody anticipated or knew about, it really defeated any meaning in this particular event. Also, we got an email that I applaud from our friend Marjorie Cohn, who is now president of the National Lawyers Guild. The Guild has called on Bolt Hall at the University of California at Berkeley to dismiss law professor John Yoo, whose torture memos led to the commission of war crimes. And this is something that producer Katrina Rill and I were just talking about off the air the other day, that, you know, how does John Yoo manage to hold on to his job at UC Berkeley when these memos are such an embarrassment to anyone who honors the Constitution and the law? And I just learned, thank you, Katrina, Marjorie Cohn, Professor Cohn from San Diego, will be on with us next Monday at 3:30 Pacific here on the Peter B. Collins Show. So lots to talk about, lots to work with, and that's about it for our program today. Grab a podcast, share it with a friend. The link is on our homepage at peterbcollins.com.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Who cares about the clouds if we're together?
I'm John Gorenfeld, and I've just written a book, Bad Moon Rising, because I thought maybe it said something about just how crazy our politics have become when a wealthy newspaper publisher dresses up like King George III in front of congressmen, and no one seems to care. Bad Moon Rising is about the conservative love affair with the Reverend Moon, the cult leader who publishes the Washington Times, travels with the Bush family,
Reverend Moon never tried to tell him what to say,
and puts on Washington's worst dinner parties. The book is Bad Moon Rising, how Reverend Moon created the Washington Times, seduced the religious right, and built an American kingdom. The foreword's by Barry Lynn. Bad Moon Rising follows an all-star cast of conservatives as they sell their souls to a cult leader, from Jerry Falwell to John McCain's top advisor. You name them, they're in my book. Bad Moon Rising. Buy it for a conservative friend and blow someone's mind. Find out more at thekingofamerica.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Now you see it, now you don't. With unruly demonstrators lining the route of the Olympic torch relay in San Francisco, city officials decided to change the route at the last minute. And as KCBS Radio's Margie Schaefer reported, those who followed the torch were forcibly kept on the sidelines.
We just had a bunch of protesters just sit down in the middle of the road and try to block it. And boy, is this being taken care of quickly. Quickly. San Francisco police all over them dragged off the street. It's clear. They are off their bicycles. They dragged the protesters off the road. And you know what? They're running. This torch relay is continuing.
The closing ceremony was moved to San Francisco International Airport, but without the torch, which was put directly onto a plane for the next leg of its trip. Back in the city, spectator Susan Tompkins was disappointed.
We didn't see the torch, but we got to see a lot of people who came out to support San Francisco and the Olympic torch.
American Airlines passengers face another day of cancellations, chaos, and confusion. After canceling nearly 1,100 flights today, spokesman Daniel Garten says about 900 flights will be canceled tomorrow.
We're working very hard now to return the airline to normal. This is a very large task, but we're working very hard to accomplish that and then also to ensure this doesn't happen again.
American's been forced to reinspect the wiring on its fleet of MD-80 jets because the FAA wasn't satisfied with the way it was done the first time. The airline's trying to book its passengers on other carriers, but thousands have been delayed. WBBM Radio's Bob Roberts went to Chicago's O'Hare Airport.
The arrival and departure boards show cancellations to and from LaGuardia, Washington Reagan, Dallas-Fort Worth, and St. Louis, the final destination on a two-week trip abroad for Val Chikotovich.
They've been very accommodating. It's frustrating, but nonetheless, I think you guys here got your act together. Long lines, typical tourist.
In the end, it could probably...
lot worse.
Yes, it could. In some third world country.
An airline spokesperson says the cancellations could continue for several days. Bob Roberts, CBS.